much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You still got your boombox? Play something and turn it way up. Something danceable.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This next part of the video is when you're doing push-ups or you're doing sit-ups, whatever. Let's get it. Another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. Another one. And another one. And another one.
What now?
You guys tired yet?
It's very motivating.
Ready?
Another one.
Oh.
Another one.
Son of a...
Another one. Another one. And another one.
And now...
You think that'll work?
I don't just think it will. I know it might.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 10th of February.
I think we should start every day with some exercises from DJ Khalid.
Not positive that that's what we need.
Well, I feel invigorated.
Okay.
Hey there, girl.
Hey, Bean.
I have so many questions, but I'm told I have to save them for later when we discuss.
Yes.
Bean is so obsessed with being on jury duty.
Yes, yeah. I am.
Well, he saw me walk in with a flag wrapped around me because I've never felt more American.
Right.
He gets it.
And then we all started chanting USA, USA.
Yep. Yeah.
By the way, and I'll just say this and then we'll move on because I know we're talking about it later. After seeing Making a Murderer, how can anybody not want to be on a jury to be a goddamn voice of reason?
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah, I think someone's calling, though.
Hey, Kevin, that was a legitimate point, by the way. The reason you want to be on a jury is so that somebody stands up and says, hey, but what about the fact that we don't know whether he did it or not?
What about the whole truth factor?
Yes. Or at least the reasonable doubt factor. All right. Don't get me started.
That's the thing is he spent all day yesterday talking about being on jury. Now he's going to spend all today talking about it.
Well, I was only aware of that because the guy that checked me in said, oh, well, thank God you showed up. Heard them talking about it this morning.
Yeah. No.
What is happening?
Really?
Yes.
Bean came on at this time yesterday complaining that he is not on jury duty. Can't believe it. Why can't he be on jury duty? He just went on forever.
And do you remember why I would be a great juror, Kevin? Do you remember the realization we all had yesterday?
Well, I said to you that I don't think you have any peers. You're supposed to be judged by your peers.
A jury of your peers, sure.
Right. And I don't believe that Bean has peers.
Okay.
And I rebutted with, I am super peery.
Oh.
Right. And then I said, so who are your peers? And he said, my neighbors and people around me. People live in the community.
Solid.
Okay. All right, new topic. Save that for later. Okay, so James Corden did the carpool karaoke with Elton John, and we couldn't help but notice that he does not have a phone. And that struck me as odd. Now, Kevin, it didn't surprise you much because he has an entourage. He always has security.
Yeah, I mean, so he's
got access to a smartphone if he needs one.
He's a superstar that has people around him at all times. I can see that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, as a regular person who does not travel with people, can you imagine 2016 and not having a smartphone? Now, there are lots of people who don't, but can you imagine, Kevin, for your life not having a smartphone? Allie?
Have you met me?
Well, that's true.
No way.
I mean, because the phone is, it's our map.
It's everything.
You know? It's our clock. It's our address book. It's everything. I mean, if you didn't have a phone, you would go wait for somebody at a restaurant and have no idea whether they were coming, whether they were late, whether they had canceled, because they'd have no way to get in touch. I mean, just lots of things that you just count on your phone for. And the reason I bring all this up is because of the story of an 84-year-old man who runs a Harvard Heights newspaper stand in Los Angeles. It's at Western and Pico. And last Thursday afternoon, somehow... or maybe it was Thursday night as he was closing down for the evening, somehow he locked himself inside his newspaper stand. Here's a guy who could have used a phone.
How can you be mad at me for laughing at that? That's funny.
Because I looked at you and I said, don't laugh.
I know,
right,
but
before he got to that part.
But that's what
he
said. It's sad, Kevin.
It's so sad.
Why is it sad?
Because he's 84.
And when you hear how long he was in there.
Oh, well, that I don't know.
Okay, well, wait for
it. Okay, I'll wait.
So he, closing up Thursday night, he accidentally, and I have no idea what the particulars are of this because I assume he'd been working there for a long time and he knew how to close it and open it properly, but he somehow locks himself inside the structure. He doesn't have a phone. He has no way to reach out to the outside world unless people happen to be walking by at Western and Pico and he can scream to be heard, I guess. Mm,
that does get a little sadder.
Friday night, he's in the booth. Saturday, he continues to live in a box. Sunday, Grandpa is still inside the newspaper stand. At this point, he's malnourished. He's dehydrated. No telling where he's pooped.
What?
Now,
really, I feel like that's a given.
Well,
I need to explore that area.
I'm just saying, you're 84 years old.
Right.
And you're in there, and it's Thursday night, and then it's Friday, and then it's Saturday, and then it's Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
And finally, at 3 p.m. Monday, a passerby heard sounds coming from inside the box and called the police, and they came and took him out. So for 4 days, this 84-year-old is inside a newspaper stand. How did it, Allie? Oh, it's not, that's not at all funny.
That is not funny at all. I am upset at this.
Allie, you heard about the story, so maybe you know more about it. How did it happen?
I have no, I just saw it. I saw the video of him, and it was, it broke my Anderson.
Come on.
Come on, Anderson.
It's ridiculous.
Grow up.
Grow up, Anderson.
No food. No water.
Right.
And do I have, okay. Anderson, do I have to point out or remind you how hot it was over the weekend?
Yeah, that's true. It was very hot.
What do you think it is inside a wooden box if it's 85 degrees outside? How hot is it inside?
What's in the box?
It has to be 100. It has to be 100 degrees in there.
Yeah, I would
think so. Closed up wooden box. And you're 84 and you have no water. It's a miracle that this guy's alive.
Yeah, 84 is not good.
So I'm just saying.
Where'd he poop, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't want to discover that.
Have a phone, old man. That's my point.
Again,
no!
Anderson.
Stop it.
Fiend said have a phone.
Have a phone.
Have a phone, old man, is his...
Yeah. Sorry.
All right, let's talk about... It's ridiculous. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
Anderson. Pull it together.
I could listen to that for 24 hours straight.
It is good.
Really good. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Across the United States right now is echoing a two-word response. No thanks.
Was that Doc Emmerich?
I think it might have been.
I think it might have been,
Why was he saying that?
Because he doesn't want to hear about today's show, I guess?
Well, he's wrong, and I love him.
He's a hockey announcer, for those of you that didn't recognize the voice.
Well,
and a great one.
Those people are bad.
This morning on the show, we have Eliza Schlesinger in the studio. Very excited about that. We have L.A. Reid in the studio, who has written a book called Sing to Me, and had a huge role. He's a major part of the record industry. Why are you laughing at me? What's happening?
Anderson?
What are you...
What is wrong with her?
I don't...
Allie?
Did I mess something up or Bean?
I have no idea.
What just happened?
What is going on? L.A. Reid, yes, that's his name. That's who he goes by.
Right? Discovered outcast. I don't know what's happening. We'll talk some jury duty. And we have your K-Rock Grammy party tickets coming up just after 6 o'clock. And hopefully... Allie McKay will be done by then. How long do I stick with this, Bean?
I don't know. What's wrong with you?
No.
Okay.
Move on?
Yes, move on.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
All right. You know how we try to help out the people who have to be up at this ridiculous hour with cool free stuff?
Yeah.
This is one of those times right now. K-Rock Grammy Party is happening Saturday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live, and Death Cab for Cutie is going to be performing in an intimate performance. It is said here. I don't know if that means they'll be in their underwear or what the deal is.
I think it's just a very small place, about 200 people.
Yeah. Well, we're looking for contestants right now. If you want to play a game to win these tickets, call right now 1-800-520-1067.
We should stop that, Ralph.
You'll get a chance
for Cutie
to play right after 6. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
Sex Cab for Cutie.
Right. It's Death Cab for Cutie. It's
Le Petit Mort.
Oh, yeah.
Intimate. here's a shock. Frozen's going to Broadway. We all knew that was going to happen, right? Had to.
Sure.
You don't take the biggest animated film monster hit of all time and not milk every last delicious, sweet, sweet dollar out of it.
And Disney's good at that.
They are the best at that. Nobody knows how to monetize their products like the good folks at the Walt Disney Company. And Disney Theatrical Productions has announced they're bringing the stage version of Frozen to New York City in 2018. Get your calendars out, circle 2018.
2018.
As the drop date for Frozen, the Broadway musical. Same creative team that worked on the film will also do the show, so there's a consistency to their product over there at Disney. They know how to crank it out. It's going to be an out-of-town try, they say, in summer of 2017, and then a Broadway opening in spring of 2018. So
busy.
Get
Sorry.
Get your tickets.
That's my John.
Oh, tickets are sold out. You missed out. I told you to get your tickets, and now you're screwed.
That was quick.
I want to be Olaf.
You want to be Olaf?
Yes.
Okay. You mean you want to play that role on Broadway?
Okay. All right, I'll take that.
You want to actually be Olaf?
I want
Olaf?
To actually be Olaf.
Okay.
But if I can't, then I would like to be Olaf on Broadway. I like warm hugs.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a hug, Kevin.
Oh, nope, dear. Nope.
Figures.
He would break my neck, wouldn't he?
I think so.
He would break my neck.
Yeah, it would be like in a Mice and Men situation where he'd be petting you and then...
Bill Cosby won one yesterday in an L.A. Superior Court.
That's a shame.
I know. The judge agreed with Bill's lawyers to toss out an amended complaint by Janice Dickinson in her defamation suit. The judge also dropped Bill's attorney, Marty Singer, from the suit, but decided that the original complaint would still go to trial and Bill would have to be back in court on February the 29th. Dickinson claims Cosby raped her in 1982 and that his lawyer at the time, Marty Singer, called her a liar in 2014 when she brought up the incident, and therein lies the defamation part of that suit. So, he got a little bit of traction on that suit, but it still will go forward amongst his other legal issues that he still has to deal with in court in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, as well as here in California. So far from off the hook, but things got a little easier for him, which is no good for anybody. And at least he's got some backup. If you caught Kanye West's Twitter last night when he posted a single tweet saying, "Bill Cosby innocent!" Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Add
five more exclamation points.
So someone still believes that?
According to this tweet, it would seem Kanye West still believes that. But Cosby innocent!
I can't get my head around why he would choose to tweet that, even if he believes it, first of all. And why yesterday, after we've been hearing about all of these things for months? Is it that he has a new album coming out next week?
Yes, of course.
Perhaps?
Nothing. He doesn't do anything unless it reflects back on him to get the look at me factor.
It doesn't even seem believable. It seems purely a marketing tool.
Yes. He doesn't exist without marketing. There's nothing he doesn't do that isn't orchestrated to sell another shoe.
Yeah.
Wherever it is he's hawking. It's just, he's reprehensible.
Well, we have L.A. Reid coming in today, who's worked with Kanye West from his first album on and loves him. It might be interesting to get his perspective on what goes on in that man's mind.
Well, all I know is Bill Cosby innocence.
Right.
That's all that matters. And Bean, your favorite celebrity, Zsa Zsa Gabor, is back in the news.
Well, I'm just apparently she's always amazed she's still alive.
It is kind of crazy.
She was on her deathbed like 25 years ago when they were amputating her legs. I thought, well, she's not going to live long.
Well, her leg was amputated in 2011, quite 25 years ago.
Well, it just seems like a long time ago.
She has not been well, and she is back in the hospital.
By the way, when Bean questions it, like he pays more attention to celebrity death than anybody I know. When he doesn't know, that's weird.
What do you mean, he doesn't know?
I'm saying you didn't know. You thought she was dead a long time ago, then you were wrong.
No. I've always been amazed that she's still alive. It's shocking to me. Her and Kirk Douglas are the two that seem like they will never die.
You are jinxing them.
Both today, right?
I don't know if Zsa Zsa can be jinxed. She did turn 99 last Saturday.
Whoa.
And she really has been so seriously ill for so very, very long.
That's not.
I felt like she was in a coma for a year or something. I mean, it seemed like for a while we were just waiting for the inevitable news. Any minute now, it's going to happen.
Has anyone seen her except for her husband?
I know. I haven't seen
Prince Frederick von Alt?
Him?
Public photos, yeah.
So you're afraid
she's at the hospital. People must be working on her and with her.
Or are they?
Yes, they are, Allie.
Man, if I'm 99 and I'm in her position, I want to go.
Yes. You know what? That's not a life. That's not a good
right.
life. She apparently has a feeding tube-related lung infection and has to have the tube surgically removed this week.
Man.
And it's just, it's beyond sad and painful. And it's just hard to hear about. So.
Many of our listeners may not know who Zsa Zsa Gabor is.
I don't know who Zsa Zsa Gabor is. I know her more famous for being the unsinkable Zsa Zsa than anything else she's ever done.
I think she was a popular actress, I want to say, in the 1950s and 60s mostly.
I don't think she was ever even an actress.
You don't?
No. Her sister Ava was.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, Zsa Zsa did a lot of acting. She did a lot of acting. She was one of those
Define
who was on...
a lot of.
We would know her from her hit.
Well, I don't think she had her own hit, but I think she was one of those 70s stars who was always on, you know...
Love Boat?
Yeah, Love Boat.
Did she punch a cop or something?
Knots Landing, yes. I think that's what got her TMZ famous, was she hit a cop at a traffic
that's
stop.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
That's sort of sad. That's
real
all you know.
Sad. I know she has white hair and she hit a cop.
I'll do a little research, but I know she did considerably less acting than her much more active sister Ava.
I don't feel like
and
we
even
need
Magda,
that update.
The third of the Gabor sisters. They were like the modern day, they were the Kardashians of the 50s. They were known for being like Hungarian hot chicks who were sisters and didn't really do anything.
So it wasn't based on great acting.
No,
or
she never
like
had a hit. She was never the star of On the Waterfront or something. Although she would have been great in that role.
But she was born in 1917.
Yeah, it's time.
Kevin has passed judgment.
No, I'm saying if I'm in her position, don't you think? It's time.
Kevin, why don't you drive down
all
there
of
today
you to
and
put
just
me out of my misery with
just
that
put a pillow over her face.
Not now. Bring it in.
Not now.
He said it.
Bring what in?
Bring in the death machine.
Christine says Zsa Zsa has 76 credits on IMDb.
Huh.
76 acting roles?
See, credits means she could have showed up on the Merv Griffin show.
All right. I'm just saying.
I'm not on the air today defending her as a great actress. I'm just saying I think that's what she's most famous for is acting in the 50s and 60s. I think that's when she became a big star. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like I added to the length of this conversation about her, and that is bad on me.
That one's on you?
Yep.
That's on you.
Taking that for myself. Sorry.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Laura Dern is 49 years old today. Elizabeth Banks turns 42. Uzo Adaba from Orange is the New Black, 35. Stephanie Beatriz, who we've had here on the show, plays Detective Rosa Diaz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and she's just unrecognizable out of character. Just two completely different people. She's 35 years old. Actress Emma Roberts is 25. And Chloe Grace Moretz, you know her, of course, from Kick-Ass, other feature films, 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Death Cab for Cutie, nominated for a couple of Grammys on Monday night. They're going to be performing at the Grammy Museum at LA Live on Saturday night. It is a K-Rock pre-Grammy party. We want you there at 1-800-520-1067. And it seems like from the paperwork in front of me that the game is called Cab You Dig It. Is that right?
That is correct, Pete. Cab You Dig It. Cab You Dig It. Cab You Dig It. Cab You Dig It.
A highly caffeinated DJ Omar Khan right there.
I would listen to that. Put that in rotation.
I feel like we chose this game just to make him make that jingle.
We're rocking out.
All right, Ralph, the contestants are on the line. Why is the game called Cab You Dig It? What do they need to know as we go to them on the phones?
Well, the band is called Death Cab for Cutie.
Right.
Yeah.
And so all of these questions I will be asking will be trivia that are related to cab or taxi answers.
Oh, that sounds
cab
relevant.
You dig it.
It sounds relatively
simple. So all
you
Death Cab for Cutie fans are going to love the fact we're asking you how much you know about taxis. taxis and cabs.
All right. Get the correct answer and go into the drawing to win the tickets for the party Saturday night. Who's our first contestant?
Jacob in Pico Rivera. Hi.
Hello. What's up, guys?
Hey, Jacob. Are you well-versed in your knowledge of cabs and taxis?
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
We will.
Here's your question. The word cab is actually short for this longer word, which means a light horse-drawn vehicle or a convertible car, and it's also the name of a make of automobile from Volkswagen.
Cabriolet?
Boom!
Just like that.
You dug your cab right there. I don't know how we congratulate people in this particular game.
But I'm pretty sure it's not that.
Yeah. All right, you're in the drawing, sir. Well done.
Let's go to Ruth in North Hollywood. Hi, Ruth.
Good morning.
Hey, Ruth. This is an HBO documentary TV series where drivers would prompt passengers into discussing their past and or present secrets in front of hidden cameras.
Taxi cab confessional?
Close enough.
Taxi cab confessions, but good enough.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're in.
Hold on, thank you.
Is that still on, by the way, Ralph? I haven't
it
seen
is
that one.
Not, I don't believe it's still. I think it's on in reruns, but I don't believe they're producing new episodes.
Corey in Long Beach, hi.
What's going on, guys?
I'll tell you what's going on. Cab you dig
it. So far, everyone so far has been digging their cabs, Corey. Let's see if you can.
Don't let us down.
In 2004, there was a movie released called Taxi, which was an American remake of a 1998 French comedy. It starred Queen Latifah and this now late-night TV show host.
Oh.
And a hell of an actor he is.
2004 movie Taxi. Queen Latifah and this now late night TV show host.
Oh, I've seen it.
You've seen it.
So many times.
Look, there's only a handful of late night TV show hosts. Just pick one of them.
I would just guess a late night TV show host. That's what I would do.
Say a name.
Where's the buzzer? Okay.
Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon was the name we were looking for.
Yeah. Corey, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to Corey anymore, but how have you seen that movie more than once?
You said he's seen it a bunch.
Seriously.
He hasn't.
He hasn't. No. Let's go to Sid in Tustin. Hi, Sid.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, Sid. Speaking of movies, this 1976 movie is often considered one of the greatest films of all time, and it features this famous scene featuring legendary actor Robert De Niro. Listen up.
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to? You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
We're talking to you, Sid. Who is it? What's the name of the movie?
Taxi.
Close.
It's another word.
Taxi blank.
Taxi cab.
Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah. Wow.
It's Taxi Driver.
Oh, I love that
movie too. Yeah, you do. You've seen it a lot of times. With Jimmy Fallon.
All right, well, we got off to a
Taxi
strong...
Driver, come on!
Got off to a strong start, but not so much.
Taxi Driver!
Times. Well, it's a famous movie, right?
Yeah, it's Taxi Driver!
Right.
Besides
movie,
that.
A lot of people know.
It's Taxi Driver!
Let's go to Philippe in Maywood. Hi there.
Hi, hello.
Hi, hello.
Hi, hello. Have you seen Robert De Niro's excellent movie, Taxi Cab?
I'm afraid not. I haven't seen that one from Robert De Niro.
Oh, boy. Well, here's your question. This Asian form of cab is usually a two- or three-wheeled cart, generally pulled by one man with one passenger in it.
Asking for the name of that particular
The name of that type of cab, yes.
Oh, man.
So you're on vacation in Thailand, and you hop into what to get pulled around the city?
Usually see an Asian gentleman pulling this cart around with a person sitting in it as he trots around the neighborhood there.
I feel like we've
trotting. Trotting.
I do feel like we've given
him
enough time.
Hey, step on it. You say step on it.
A carriage?
A carriage. What? No,
a
carriage. Sorry. Rickshaw. Rickshaw is what we're looking for.
Sorry.
Rickshaw.
Which was also my air name in the 80s, by the way, when I worked. Can you dig it? I was Rickshaw.
Yeah. Okay, we understood that.
One more? Yes or no?
Going down in flames. We got to go out on a better note than these, right?
Jennifer in Simi Valley. Hi there.
What's that?
Jennifer.
We can't go out on a negative, so get this right.
Save us. This award-winning sitcom originally aired from 1978 to 1982 on ABC and then came back from 82 to 83 on NBC. Here's a little taste of its theme song.
Mm-hmm.
theme song.
Taxi?
Taxi! Hey, that's correct. The name of the sitcom. Yeah. Congratulations, you're in the drawing.
All right, well, I think that's good to leave it there. With yes. Jennifer in the drawing, as well as Jacob and Ruth, only one will win tickets to join us Saturday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live to see the band Death Cab for Cutie. This has been Cab You Dig It. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Jacob.
Jacob! Yeah.
Jacob!
Congratulations, Jacob!
Yes! Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank
you won. You got tickets. Enjoy the show. And thanks for playing the game.
Thanks for playing the Cab You Dig It!
Talk about last night's episode 2 of American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. It was the slow speed chase, and it was fascinating. That's coming up in about 15 minutes or so here in KROQ. First, though, Kevin, you're going to introduce me to my new best friend.
Well, we always play a game, which is when you read this headline, would you click on it and read further? Do you want to know more of this story? And the headline is Assault with a Deadly Weapon, Florida Man Charged with Throwing Alligator into Wendy's.
Oh, I'm clicking.
Right?
I want more.
You want more. Alligator.
Yeah.
The poor alligator. The poor person working the drive-through window.
Well, it's not much
gets
fun for him or her
alligator.
Either.
Alligator. That's well, not what you want.
That's not what you want.
That's not what you want at all. All right, so this is the news report about the guy, and then they interview his parents to ask him what this kid must have been thinking.
Only on 5, a story that thousands of you have been sharing from our Facebook page all night. In fact, at this hour, almost 2,000 people have shared this story today. A 24-year-old man, this man right here, accused of throwing an alligator through a drive-through window. Our Jared Worksma spoke exclusively to his family tonight. And Jared, what are they telling you?
All right, so he goes and he talks to the parents. Now, if you threw an alligator into a Wendy's, what would your parents say?
Well, I would hope that my parents wouldn't speak with the news, for starters. Like, why participate in this circus?
I'm thinking if they raised a kid that threw an alligator into a Wendy's,
there's
they're talking
damage
to the news. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, well, I guess, seriously, I hope that they would apologize and be embarrassed that their yeah. kid behaved so badly.
My son's an idiot.
Yeah,
sort of. It's a version yeah. of that.
Well, Jay, Josh James' parents are telling us that he is an outdoorsman and that Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, was his idol. But
now, so he starts with, my son is an outdoorsman.
Sure. Okay.
The crocodile hunter is his hero.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay, worked out well for him.
Right.
But above all, they say he is a prankster.
He's a prankster.
Oh, it's just a joke.
It's just a joke.
We need to have a laugh. That's all.
Alligator into the Wendy's. To be funny.
Yep.
That's all.
Who meant no harm. Yet Florida Fish and Wildlife says that James grabbed a roughly 3.5-foot alligator on the side of the road, picked it up, got it in his truck, brought it to this Wendy's behind us, and just hurled it through that drive-through window.
How okay. is right. that what? A prank in anyone's mind?
And how can you, with a straight face, say that he meant no harm?
He meant By no the way. Harm, Dean, because he's a prankster.
Right, but if you throw an alligator at somebody,
it was a prank.
There's going to be harm.
You're he's an listening. Outdoorsman, Bean.
Oh, I forgot he was an outdoorsman. Hey, are we going to get some backstory on what the conflict was between the person behind the glass at Wendy's and the
nope.
customer?
Nope, there's no conflict.
No,
except
it was a prank.
Maybe he knew the person working the drive-thru came out someplace in the interview, but other than that, we don't know.
So he's driving God. Along,
uh-huh.
sees an alligator on the side of the road.
Yes.
Picks it up.
Yes, puts it in his car.
Puts it in his car.
With him.
Okay.
Drives to a Wendy's.
Sure.
And then deposits it.
And then he's like, oh, this is going to be so funny, you guys.
Who thinks that's funny?
Nobody.
All right, so let's continue.
Just a stupid prank that he did that's now turning into this.
Now, she's annoyed. His mom is annoyed mm-hmm. because she knows it's a prank, but it's turned into this.
And you believe, stupid. You definitely believe this was a prank.
Oh, 100%, because he's a prankster. He does stuff like this because he thinks it's funny.
Ed and Linda James say their son, Josh, is harmless, but he's sitting in jail facing serious charges.
I'd like to suggest the guy who throws an alligator into a Wendy's mm-hmm. Drive-thru window is not harmless.
Mm-mm.
I feel like that's false.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. He is a guy who makes poor decisions.
You want to hear the charges? I've never heard this before.
Yeah.
The charge against him is assault with a deadly weapon, intent to do less than murder.
Assault with a deadly weapon, intent to do less than murder.
What if the alligator ate someone? What if the alligator hit, like, the carotid artery and right. that was it?
It could have happened. I don't understand the charge.
That's
never heard.
That's the weirdest charge.
I've never heard
been,
the charge.
That probably would have been, like, a second-degree murder or a manslaughter charge. But I guess what they're doing is they're putting themselves in the head of the guy who threw the alligator and thinking he wasn't intending to kill somebody when he threw this alligator.
Because he's a prankster.
Because sure. he's a prankster,
I
yeah.
That.
I don't even get that. I don't know how that... I don't get it.
Now, she's upset that they think her son is dangerous. That's your issue right there.
They're still waiting to get the details from their son directly. But they say Josh knew one of the employees working at this Wendy's.
Was somebody at Wendy's that they were pranking?
Do you think, though, that the people at Wendy's think it was a prank?
Well, I mean, how could you not think something like that was a prank?
Okay, I'd like to suggest if I'm working the drive-thru window and I get a face full of alligator... That's prank doesn't come to my mind first.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm really not thinking about pranks.
But if Face Full of Alligator is not playing Coachella, there is going to be hell to pay.
Wendy's won't give any comment on the 3.5-foot alligator seen here hurled through the drive-thru window.
You'll like this, Barbie.
But Florida Fish and Wildlife was far from amused. They used a credit card receipt from a soda James purchased prior to the October incident and tracked him down in December. Wasn't until this morning the family learned the charges.
They said, will he cooperate? I said, absolutely. He's not a bad kid. He's a stupid kid. He did a stupid prank. He had no problem with turning himself in.
And you're saying that he is not a violent person?
Absolutely not. It was a total prank.
What about the alligator?
Once again, for those of you who are wondering about that alligator, Florida Fish and Wildlife says that it was safely released back into the wild because Josh James' parents did tell us he was not a violent offender, had no criminal past. We did look into that. We have not been able to find anything in his past in terms of criminal charges. As for this charge, it's against him now, assault with a deadly weapon with intent to do less than murder. We expect him to be arraigned tomorrow morning. He is spending the night in the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office jail tonight. As soon as we have more information, we will be sure to pass it along. But for now, we're live in Royal Palm Beach. I'm Jared Werksma, WPTV News Channel 5.
Florida, you know, right?
You know they say everybody has a twin. We found Kevin's today.
How
that's hurtful.
Dare you, sir?
That young man right there, Lucas Graham, by the way, stopped by K-Rock last week and performed and was interviewed in the Red Bull Sound Space. If you would like to see that, if you can't get enough of him in his 7 years, you can go to krock.com. That video is up. We talked to Malcolm Jamal Warner yesterday on the program about his role as Al Cowlings in The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Episode 2 aired last night. And right. They did the entire hour on O.J.'s slow speed chase. And as we talked to Malcolm about it yesterday... Is this the conclusion we're coming to? Is O.J. just couldn't face the reality of he was going to be arrested and behind bars, and he just wanted to get as many extra minutes of freedom as he could?
I think we were basing that on the fact that it was slow speed. If he was trying to get away, they would have gone higher than 35 miles an hour, whatever it was.
Well, this show on FX has become a sensation, and it's so sad that the man who can't watch it is O.J. Simpson himself, because he is still behind bars in Nevada, and he joins us once again this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Juice!
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how are you guys?
We are good.
Great to hear that. Greetings from Lovelock.
Sure. Now, are people, I don't know what kind of visitors you get or how much news you get from the outside world, but is the prison abuzz about you being back on TV every week?
Most of my visitors come in my cell late at night, and they're other prisoners.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to get too much deeper into that, then.
No, I don't want to get any deeper either. If it's any deeper, I'm going to be choked.
Well, I'm glad you're on the phone. Because we want to play some highlights of last night's episode about the slow speed chase.
Oh,
because...
good. I'm looking forward to reliving this.
Well, I mean, we have some questions, if you don't mind.
Oh, right. Listen, I'm just trying to be a nice guy.
Right.
That means.
You're the juice, right?
And because... I have nothing but time on my hands.
That's true. That's true.
Go ahead. Ask your questions. Let's have some fun.
Okay. At one point, the whole slow speed chase came to a halt, and the cops walked up outside the car and tried to get... Al Cowlings and you out of the car.
We have sighted a white Ford Bronco north of Irvine Center Drive.
Sir, step out of the vehicle.
No.
Sir, you need to turn your engine off and step from the vehicle now.
Do you know what's going on here? OJ's in the back seat with a gun to his hand.
Can I speak with Mr. Simpson?
No, I ain't speaking to nobody.
I know, OJ, I will handle it, okay?
We don't want a situation here. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
You both need to get up.
Tell him.
You need to get up.
That's not happening. Back off.
And then he took off again at a fast 35 miles per hour.
That's pretty much how it went.
That's how
really?
It went.
Wow. There's so much yelling going on. You and Al are both screaming your heads off back there. It sounds like a very tense situation,
well,
Juice.
One of the main differences is that AC and I are both much better actors. And secondly, they don't show. We were confused because we had stopped, and then these guys came up through the window, and we thought they were trying to sell oranges.
Okay, all right, well, that's understandable.
We were confused. We said, oh, they're trying to sell oranges off the off ramp on the freeway.
Like
no,
me,
do. No juice for the juice today. Thank you.
So he just moved on.
So
all right.
He just moved on.
So at some point, AC gives the phone to you, and you actually talk to the police.
OJ, we want to keep you alive. We're not going to bother you. We'll let you go home. We know you want to go there. We'll let you go there. But the gun is scaring everybody. Please, can't you just throw it away?
No. I deserve to get hurt.
You were very close to killing yourself in the back of that Ford Bronco, weren't you, Juice?
No, that's crazy.
You had the gun to your head and your finger on the trigger.
Yeah.
And the gun in your mouth.
What's
at
your
one
point?
Well, it just sounds like a man who's intent on committing suicide.
Let me tell you this much. To suggest throwing away a perfectly good gun is just irresponsible. Listen, guns don't grow on trees, okay?
Right.
Guns cost money.
But you had...
I'm not about to throw away a perfectly good gun. That was a ridiculous request on their part, in my opinion.
Okay, good point. Point well taken.
Thank you. I thought so, too.
You know what they didn't bring up in the show last night, Kevin? And I don't know if you remembered this from the time of the slow speed chase. And, OJ, maybe you can fill in the blanks here. But didn't you also have your passport with you and, mm-hmm. like, a fake mustache and beard and $10,000 in cash? I mean, it seemed like at one point we thought you guys were going for Mexico or something.
That's ridiculous.
No.
Did you have $10,000 and a fake mustache?
Well, of course I did.
And your passport.
But I carried that all the time.
Just in case?
Listen, you never know when you need to go to a foreign Pavarotti look-alike contest.
Oh. Okay. So you were just being prepared.
I was always prepared in case I wanted to go to a fancy dress ball or, as we say in America, costume party.
Sure.
I wanted to have my Pavarotti costume ready at all times.
Okay.
And I like to keep some money on hand, that's all.
$10,000.
So if I got a call saying, hey, Pavarotti look-alike contest, Venice, tomorrow, boom. I'm ready to get on the plane and go.
How many of those did you enter in your life?
Hundreds.
Okay.
I was one of the best Pavarotti impersonators in the world.
I would love to hear you sing.
They never show that part, do they?
They didn't show that part.
They didn't.
No,
they didn't. Okay.
Listen up. Ave Maria.
That's not bad.
He is good.
He is good. All right. He's got an answer for everything. It's impressive.
Pavarotti bitches.
All right. So after about 2 hours, they let you go back home because you just want to talk to your mom, and you pull into the driveway, and then this happens.
Is mama here?
Yes, she's on the phone. She's waiting. She's on the house phone waiting to talk to you.
I just want to come inside, man. I just want to come inside.
That's a great idea. Just come on in, and we just sit down. We just sit down and relax. Just come inside.
I can't be on the TV again, man, in the handcuffs. I can't do that with them.
Okay, what do you need? What do you want?
Maybe come inside.
And do it. You mean do it in here?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. That's easy. Just give me 1 second, okay? Okay, Juice. He doesn't want to be arrested outside. You got to do it inside the house, away from the cameras.
Gun's got to stay inside the vehicle.
Okay, Juice, we're good to go. They're going to do it inside the house, okay?
You just got to make sure that the gun stays inside the car.
OJ?
Is that the effect David Schwimmer has on you, Juice?
I'm sorry. What's happening?
We were playing a clip when you got to your house.
Oh, I thought you were playing the entire program. No. My bad. I thought maybe we talked during the commercial break.
I felt like it was interesting that you got to name your own terms. That's
it
strange.
May be interesting, but it's sure not good for comedy.
All right, so we'll make a note of that for next week's recap.
We'll keep them shorter next week, I'm
All
sure.
Right. The deal.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Ralph Garman joins us. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's happening?
Well, movie news. Looks like Johnny Depp will be starring in an upcoming remake of The Invisible Man.
I love The Invisible Man.
Do you?
I love The Invisible Man.
Well,
I don't even know if we have time to...
Well, there's not much to say.
Plumb the depths of why you have such an affection for The Invisible Man.
Well, we've talked about before that I'm a big fan of that whole era of Universal movie monsters. I love all of them. I love the Frankenstein. I love the Dracula. I love the Wolfman. I love the Invisible Man. I love them all.
All right,
that was a great movie.
When you see Wolfman, do you applaud?
I clap. Yes.
Put it in the file.
Clap for the Wolfman.
Put that right in the file.
The Invisible Man has been a subject matter for film and television for many, many years. The story was originally written by H.G. Wells back in 1897, and it's been made into a movie a couple of times, most famously, as Bean mentioned, starring Claude Rains back in 1933 for Universal. But it was also a TV series with David McCallum, and the premise itself has been altered and changed. Kevin Bacon did a film called Hollow Man, which was very similar to it. But I just never understood why you would take a big movie star and then make him not on screen for the majority of his appearance in the film. Yeah. Although it's a sweet gig for Depp, because he just like, shows up, they put some bandages on, and then he just goes to the voiceover room, just lays down some tracks, I'm sure, and the rest is all computer magic. So.
It's a pretty good gig.
Yeah. So we'll get to see The Invisible Man coming soon. No word on a director or writer for the film yet, but details, right? Those things don't matter.
The special effects on the original 1933 version are unbelievable.
They're kind of crazy for 1933. You wouldn't believe they could do what they do.
But imagine, how easy this movie is to make now compared to previous years.
Yeah. And are you familiar with what the hottest song in America is right now?
I don't know. What is it?
The hottest song in America. There's a phenomenon going on with a particular song that's almost inexplicable.
Okay.
It is the number one streamed song on Spotify. Being streamed about 500,000 times a week.
It's not Bieber.
It's not Bieber. It's crushing all traditional, what you would think of as sort of mainstream songs, like Taylor Swift's Out of the Woods, Demi Lovato's Confident, One Direction's Drag Me Down. This is crushing them.
Well, it's too early for Formation, right?
Hit. But in terms of being downloaded and streamed.
Is it religious?
It is not. Huh. It is an active rock song.
Huh.
An active rock song.
Yes.
You fascinate me. Tell me more.
Which is a category that really rarely charts on the iTunes Top 100, but currently it's the number one rock song on iTunes.
Okay. I don't know.
You're going to be stunned. This is all happening, just bubbling below the surface, getting no attention, no press, no one's talking about it, but the band Disturbed.
What?
Disturbed.
Has a monster hit on their hands right now as we speak.
Huh.
With a cover of a song that's 50 years old.
Are you making all of this
right?
up?
I am not.
Disturbed.
Disturbed's cover of Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence.
No. No.
Is the hottest song in
is
the world right,
right
now. And we're all just going about our business like nothing's going on. We're all just walking. We're just going to our jobs, going to school, driving our cars without knowing this is happening right under our noses. Disturbed with The Sound of Silence is becoming a musical juggernaut. It's gaining momentum even with these sort of successes.
That's crazy.
With downloads and streaming. With no real push, no promotion, it's becoming a monster hit.
Do you have a clip?
I have a little taste.
Love to hear it.
You will be stunned. Dave Draymond is the lead, of course, singer for Disturbed, and here he is in a very subdued, very reverential take on Simon and Garfunkel's classic song, Sound of Silence.
When my eyes were stand by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence.
Why?
I have no idea, but I'm fascinated by this phenomenon. The video's kind of cool, but it's very sort of straightforward, and it's just a straightforward cover of this song.
So I feel like I'm high, and I'm, it sounds slower than it's supposed to. I don't know. It just feels weird.
Well, I mean, Sound of Silence is not exactly an up-peppy song, Kevin.
Right.
It's not a dance tune.
Saying I feel high.
Well,
back to you.
We often feel that way about you. But I was stunned.
That is interesting.
By the success of this song. It's all happening sort of in a grassroots way.
It wasn't from like a major movie or
no,
a TV
sir, it's
show?
From their new album. Well,
no.
Not new. It was released at the end of last year. And they have just announced a tour. They're going a co-headlining tour with Disturbed and Breaking Benjamin. But
wow.
The phenomenon that is the Sound of Silence, number one rock song on iTunes right now. And it's number one on Spotify. And it's dwarfing other traditional sort of bigger artists. But this song has become a monster. Odd that.
It is.
Are we in the year 2002?
You wish. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Grace Moretz is 19 years old today. Emma Roberts turns 25. Stephanie Beatriz plays Detective Rosa Diaz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine is 35. Uzo Adaba from Orange is the New Black is 35. Laura Dern is 49. And Elizabeth Banks, one of our favorites around here, Elizabeth Banks turns 42 years old today. I'd like to take a look back into her early career, if you don't
mind. We don't
mind.
Have that kind of time. I don't
remember
think
when she was in a film called Slither.
Slither, yes.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? Did you... What did you do back then?
You do good work.
Wow.
I do. You keep doing what you're doing.
Wow. Slither not even about snakes, by the way. It's important for you to know that.
It's inexplicable, that conversation.
Why would that, of all her work, be that would be your focus?
No idea. I can't.
You think L.A. Reid just turned around?
If he's smart, he did.
I'm more confused by that than I am by Sound of Silence by Disturbed. That's saying something.
Yeah, it's troubling.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Eliza Schlesinger, one of our favorite comedians, joins us in studio next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And coming up in about 10 minutes or so, the great L.A. Reid will be here. He is a music business legend who has run lots of record labels and signed, oh, I don't know, Outkast and Rihanna and Justin Bieber and Pink and Avril Lavigne. And the list goes on and on and on. Very accomplished songwriter as well. Allie, you are not allowed to sing while Mr. Reid is here.
A little rock steady.
He did write Rocksteady by the Whisperers. He did write that. But no, please don't sing. Don't scare him off. Anyway, that's coming up. First, though, yesterday you may have noticed that Allie McKay was not with us. And the reason is she was at mother effing jury duty. And I feel like you went into Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory and I, as usual, have my face pressed up against the glass, tried to look in to see what it's all about and can't see anything. So you have to tell me about it because they won't let me be on a jury.
Just to clarify. Everyone else in the world tries to get out of jury duty.
Okay.
Bad people do, yes, that's right.
Bean is desperate to get in on jury duty,
desperate.
But they won't let him.
Yeah.
So I tried to explain to Bean yesterday that they need a jury of your peers.
Uh-huh.
And Bean is not a peer to anyone.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And so then Bean's answer was,
I'm super peer.
I don't think you're peer at all.
I'm the king of peer.
Yeah, who's your peer?
Everybody, all the people that I live near, all my neighbors and fellow citizens.
That's his answer.
Why is that funny? That's true. That's the whole definition of
but
a peer.
You don't interact with anyone.
You don't have to interact
I feel
with
like
people
it's important.
To still be their equal.
I'm not saying you're not their equal. I'm saying you wouldn't be a good juror.
I would be a fantastic juror. and the reason being is because I would make a ruling based on the facts. And that, I think, is what's hard to find in a juror. But let's talk about Allie's experience yesterday. What was your reaction when you got the summons? Were you stoked or were you bummed out?
I was shocked because I had just said 2 weeks prior on the air, I've never gotten a jury summons. And it confuses me because I vote every election. Mm-hmm. I've lived in the same place for 8 years. They know how to find me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then it showed up and I was like, oh, no.
Now, Bean, how does that make you feel? Now that you've said that 100 times on this show,
and they
have
still
not
won't tell
gotten a jury summons.
It's disappointing and it's hurtful, and I wish you weren't enjoying it so much. All right, so was your initial reaction, Allie, to be like somebody on the show and just pretend you didn't get it and throw it away, or
Chip.
was it I'm down?
Oh, I was down.
Okay.
Yeah, I was fine with it. Actually, I was supposed to go in November, wound up getting the flu, so it was rescheduled to now, which made me even more down because I had watched To Make a Murderer. Mm-hmm. And you know how I watch Dateline every Friday night when I'm alone. So I was just into it. I wanted to get in there. I think I would make a great juror as well. And so
and
I got there.
What was it like? What time did you get there?
I got to get there late because I did everything, the online video watching, so I knew what to expect. So I got to get there at 9:30.
Okay.
Oh, so that's why you were here for most of yesterday's show before you had to leave to go downtown.
Yeah, except I got there at 8:30.
Okay.
So I was in there just kind of waiting, and you sit there, and what they do is they say, okay, we've got this first case, and then they say the people's names, then they have to go to another room, then those people in that room are talked to by the lawyers, and then they decide if they're going to be put on the jury.
The total pool is how many?
There were probably a couple hundred people in there.
200 people.
Yeah.
They name 20 or whatever.
20 people.
Okay, and
so
they take them away.
They go away. So then you're sitting there.
And that
there,
wasn't you.
Not me.
Okay.
So then the next one was something different. They said, this is a 16-day trial.
Yeah, yes, please.
Bean, you would have loved it.
Yes,
but
please.
But they said, you have the chance when we call your name to say no or yes.
Oh.
And if you say no, you had to walk up and talk to this woman, Denise, and explain why.
Okay.
So a lot of people were saying, I don't get paid for those days. I have childcare issues. I take care of someone sick at home, that type of thing.
But if it's a 16-day case, what kind of case do you think it is?
Murder.
So murder was the case that they gave you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Put that in the file as well.
Did you say yes to 16 days?
Again. Not called.
Still not called. Okay.
So now that's two. And I'm thinking, what is going on?
This is my exact experience as well.
Yeah. So then the third case, not called.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on a second. Let me stop you right there. Like Kevin, for instance, doesn't want to go to jury duty. Mm-hmm. But when forced, when it finally gets to the point where he can't ignore it anymore, he goes. Okay.
I serve my fellow man, Bean.
Yeah, you do. Okay. Sure. So even though you didn't want to be on a jury, at this point, after three times being rejected, Kevin, aren't you now starting to go, hey,
it's annoying.
What's wrong with me?
Hey, I'm down here.
Plus, the thing is, you want to be called early because then if you get to that next point and they dismiss you,
you're done.
You go home. So
then it's just a one-day thing, and then you're off the records for what, like 2 years or something?
One year.
1 year, okay.
So then I thought, okay, three. No.
Third case, no.
This is sad.
Okay.
Then we have an hour and a half lunch, and I'm like, what? No, let's skip it. Let's get going. More juries, something. So then, a fourth jury, not called.
Were you the only person sitting in the pool?
But here's where it gets weird.
All right.
They leave. 5 minutes later, they're all back.
All of them.
On the elevator up, the case was dismissed. So I'm thinking, oh, those people are awesome. Now they get to go home. And the guy was like, nope, sit back down. So now all those people are sitting back in the jury pool. So I'm thinking, okay, well, he's not going to call them again from the next case.
Right. Wrong.
Still wasn't called.
So you were never called.
Never called. And then it rolls, 4 o'clock rolls around, and I'm thinking, okay, we're dismissed between 4 and 5 p.m. What is happening?
It's gotta
and
be
I'm
it.
Texting Christine. I'm like, well, I guess I made it. I'm not going to be called. And she goes, I was called at 4:15. Like, oh, so immediate that pucker. Like, no, I did not stay that long to be called that late. Nope, 4:34. They're like, you can all head home.
Now, were you disappointed?
I was bummed. I was legitimately bummed because I didn't even get the chance to be rejected. It was like, oh, you're not even going to be picked last for the team. You were never even considered.
It was so much like your dating life.
It was so, it was like a mirror.
It was
holding up a mirror.
It was the exact same for me. Everybody else went and I just sat there.
What is that, Kevin?
I don't know.
And Chip too. What is going on?
They don't know quality.
Have we been flagged? Are we flagged in the system?
If we were flagged in the system, they wouldn't call us down there. I would think.
Unless they're just effing with you. Did anyone throw an alligator at you?
No.
Now, Bean.
Yes.
You desperately want to be on a jury.
Desperately.
Hearing that, doesn't it sound like a giant waste of time?
I mean, look, I would be disappointed if I went down there and spent my whole day and did not get called. But I think it is, and I mean this sincerely, I think it is a privilege to be on a jury. And I would welcome that opportunity to have the opportunity to contribute to the system. We have the greatest system of justice in the world here in this country.
So you could stand up and say,
guilty.
Oh, yeah. look, whatever case I'm on, I'm voting guilty. I do know that going in.
For sure.
But I don't think that makes me a bad juror.
You would be an ideal juror.
Right? We have been looking forward to this for a long time since we booked it, and we knew Mr. L.A. Reid was coming into the studio. He is the current chairman and CEO of Epic Records, but he's run lots of other companies in the past, LaFace, Arista, Island Def Jam. He has signed some of the largest entertainers in the world. A great songwriter, and it's a thrill to have you in here, Mr. Reid. How are you, sir?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. It's a real
honor.
You
ever been on K-Rock before?
I've never been on K-Rock before. I've had music on K-Rock before.
You've had music everywhere.
Yeah, but I love being here.
I was excited to read the book. L.A.'s book is out now, and if anyone who is a fan of music or the music industry, it is a must-read. It is called Sing to Me, and it's available everywhere books are sold. And you actually gave K-Rock a nice shout-out over the Congos, right? That was a band you signed.
Absolutely, the Congos. And you guys broke the Congos for us, so thank you so much, right? A great band from South Africa. Really proud to be working with them.
And it's still a thrill for you in all these years in the industry, and you go back decades now, to hear one of your songs on the radio for the first time.
For the first time, it gets me excited. But anytime I hear it, I get excited. Like, I put these headphones on and I just heard The Killers and I went crazy.
Just love music. Love
it. It's one of my bands, right? I love The Killers. I do. I get excited about it. It's still about the music. It's all about the music.
I wanted to ask you about the early days. When you started out, you talk about, I don't know. It seems like when I look at you, a person with your name and your success and your past, I go, that guy knows everything. He knows everything. He knew what he was doing in the beginning, the middle, the end. And you were really just sort of poking around blind trying to find your way. A lot of the book, I was very surprised by that.
Yes,
much of the story.
Yes, I'm a work in progress, like every day. You know what I mean?
I just assume, hearing your name and all that you've done, you must have all the answers.
Well, you know what? I figure it out as I go along. But no, I don't have all the answers. And the beauty of what we do is that we're just figuring it out, you know. So, you know, the good news is I don't get bored.
Well, you never have it fully figured out,
yeah,
especially
you
as
don't, you don't have
change.
It figured out. And every time you meet someone new, and if I meet a new artist, it's a new experience. It's never one experience repeated 100 times. It's a new experience every time. And I get up for that. That gets me excited.
You have legendary ears. You're the guy who signed Outkast and Avril Lavigne and Usher and Pink and Rihanna and Justin Bieber and Meghan Trainor. And the list just goes on and on and on. Do you believe that there is always great talent out there waiting to be discovered?
I
feel like sometimes we're just, you know, when I see a lot of these shows like American Idol, I feel like there's not that much talent out there sometimes.
Yeah, but there's so much talent out there. There are not. And I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, but there are not a lot of people that work in talent acquisition that really know, care, and can really sort of have that discerning taste.
What do you think the secret is that you have had through your career, which is I can tell this person has that magic?
Is it being a musician yourself?
I think it has something to do with being a musician and being in bands and always trying to find, like, I got to find somebody to sing this song, or as a songwriter, I want the right voice on this song, you know. So it has something to do with that. It has a lot to do with luck. It really does.
I want to give one example that's near the end of your book, because she's a current artist that you have on Epic Records right now, and it's Meghan Trainor.
Yes.
You got a demo in the mail. Somebody sent you a demo of a songwriter looking to place a song, and that song was all about the bass. And you heard that and thought, I think this could be an artist.
Yeah, when I heard that record, the record sounded complete. It didn't sound like, okay, who can sing this? It sounded complete. So I just needed to know who that was. Mm-hmm. And when I met her, and she came in with that smile and all of that great energy, I was like, wait a minute. Oh, this is somebody special. This is a really special girl.
And so, she wasn't planning on being an artist. She just was being a songwriter. And you're the one who said, hey, you're the star.
Behind every songwriter, there's an aspiring artist that may not admit it. Mm-hmm. Right? So it didn't take a lot of convincing for her to say, okay, I've signed up. No problem.
It does seem like, though, there are a lot of people who can write songs who aren't necessarily great performers as well.
Yeah, it's very, very true. And they learn that early, and then they get their career path right. But the truth is that in the very beginning, all musicians, all artists, and probably half the industry wanted to be performers. You know?
Sure. And LA, is it one of, you don't say this in the book, but I'm reading between the lines here, is it one of the great tragedies in your life that you're not a very good singer?
I think that may. I think that's where I got lucky, because the truth, if I could sing, then my career probably would not have gone so well. If I could sing, I would have had a moment, and then I would have gone away. Do you know what I mean? Even if I were great at it, you know, I may have had a couple of years of hits, and then I would have been old school. But I like the fact that I can reinvent myself every day, because it's not me singing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter the genre of music. It doesn't matter if it's rock. It doesn't matter if it's hip-hop. It doesn't matter what it is. I live vicariously through
many. So you like being a behind-the-scenes guy?
Sometimes.
I like
I like being the behind-the-scenes guy that you know is behind the scenes.
Right.
I like the part of the story where you realize that you can write music and sing music, but you don't know business.
Right.
And that's a whole different thing, and so you realize you need to learn business.
Yeah, and that's the fun of it, right? It was like, okay, another challenge. You know, let's march up to Boston and take some business courses. But you learn it as you go. And
LA's being modest, by the way. He's not saying Harvard Business Law.
Right.
Is
what he's
not
saying. That sounds
like you're stunting. Like, yeah, I went to Harvard Business School. I have an executive MBA.
Yeah.
Very proud of it.
Only
didn't want to say it that way.
The hardest school to get into. Yeah. And, you
deserve
that. Small percentage of people even get considered.
We're talking to the great LA Reid here on the Kevin Abid Show. Music business legend. Again, the book is called Sing to Me. I had two burning questions when I put down the book that I want to ask you before we take a break here, LA. And the first one is, your nickname LA. You mentioned very briefly in the book that you got it because you were rooting for or wearing a Dodgers cap. Was it when the Dodgers were playing the Cincinnati Reds in the World Series in 1975?
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
it was
and you lived in Cincinnati and were, I would assume, a Reds fan. And I was very confused why you were wearing a Dodgers cap.
Because I got the T-shirt free.
Right?
It was free.
That's where the luck comes in.
And I didn't have a closet full, right? So I was like, I'll take it. Thank you.
So you had never even been to L.A., but somebody gave you the nickname L.A. because of a Dodgers T-shirt, and it has stuck 40 years?
It's stuck.
I'm glad they weren't playing the Pirates or something.
Yes!
Isn't
that the weirdest way to get a nickname, Kevin?
That is pretty strange, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other question that I had for you was so puzzling to me, and that is that you were and are one of the most successful songwriters of all time. You and your collaborators, oftentimes Babyface, wrote everything from Don't Be Cruel and Every Little Step for Bobby Brown, Knocked Out for Paula Abdul, Rocksteady for The Whispers. The list goes on and on. Dozens of hits. And when you and Babyface kind of parted ways, you never wrote another song.
You know what it was? I was Babyface is a really accomplished songwriter.
Right.
I am a producer who is capable of writing as a collaborator. But my first love was producing and instrumentation. And his first love was songwriting. So it was just the perfect partnership.
Right, but why didn't you get another collaborator then? I mean, obviously you came up with lots of great ideas for songs and were passionate about it. How can you just walk away from something that you have such a gift with?
I found something else that I loved, which was I loved the writing of other people. I really loved the idea that, yeah, I can write. But man, listen to this song that Dallas Austin wrote. I really like this. Or listen to the song that Jermaine Dupri or any other writers wrote. I like the idea that other people could write. I wasn't a big fan of myself. I mean, you might catch that through the book. You know, I got very lucky and I had a lot of success and I'm proud of it. But I was never like, oh my God, I'm great. I didn't feel it.
You
that
knew
way.
Babyface was a special talent when it comes to writing
great.
Music.
Yes, and I also felt like if I write. After Babyface and I stopped, I was like, well, it's only downhill from here. So just move on.
And don't you find the most successful people let the people around them be better? Because it makes you better.
Yeah, that's the idea. And if I've gotten anything right, I've surrounded myself with really good people throughout my career. You know, even when I didn't really understand that I was doing it, it was always about the people in the room. You know, and that's the key.
We got to take a very quick break. We have many questions. I don't even know where to start because the book is so fascinating and there's so many great stories. We want to talk about Kanye West, especially since he's so much in the news this week and you go back with him before the first album. I want to talk about the Lady Gaga story, which is amazing, and your time on The X Factor, too. So much to discuss with our new friend, L.A. Reid. Again, the book is in stores now called Sing to Me, My Story of Making Music, Finding Magic, and Searching for Who's Next. A quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock. All right, Allie, you can sing a little bit of Rocksteady if you want.
I know.
I know you've been wanting to. I know it's your favorite.
I'd rather you didn't. But man, anytime that song comes on.
Right?
Good Lord.
Yeah, I call that the wedding reception song. You
know? The man who wrote that song, L.A. Reid, in studio with us here on The Kevin Bean Show. The book, again, is called Sing to Me, My Story of Making Music, Finding Magic, and Searching for Who's Next. Give me a few words about your friend Kanye West, who's getting ready to come out with a new record. You consider him among the giants, but what kind of a person is he, L.A.?
I think, first of all, he is, in my opinion, one of the most creative artists I've ever met, that I think is in the industry today.
I feel like he goes a little south when he tells us that too much, though.
Yeah,
I agree with you, but... Yeah.
I think that he comes from... you remember Muhammad Ali when he used to say, I am the greatest,
yeah.
I am the greatest, and it worked. I think Kanye is kind of doing that. I think he's hoping that it works, you know. The problem is that it doesn't always come off so humble.
Oh, it doesn't come off humble at all. It's the opposite of that.
But he is, though. That's what blows me away.
He is humble.
Oh, my God. He's a completely different guy. When you're in the studio or you're in the office or you have – it's a completely different guy.
Really?
And so I
– Is he just playing a role?
Yeah, 100%. Kanye, you're going to be very upset with me, but I'm going to tell you a secret right now. It's all – it's a shtick. This is a humble guy. And all artists – and I consider myself at least part artist – all artists at some level are insecure.
Sure.
Because we live for acceptance. We make a record or they do a show. It's all about the applause and the acceptance. So that's a very vulnerable and insecure place to be. So that's who Kanye and every artist is most of the time. Right. And then he flicks a switch.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of flicking a switch, what happens when he, like, for instance, when he went on that crazy, and I'm asking you to speculate, you're not in his head, and maybe you haven't talked to him in the last 2 weeks, but when he went on that crazy Twitter rant a couple of weeks ago, who was he feuding with, Ali? Who was he?
Wiz Khalifa.
He did that. I mean, he went into this epic Twitter rant, and then yesterday he tweets, Bill Cosby innocent. Like, what's going on in your mind? Is that a hey, look at me moment? Is that like I have to be the center of attention at all times moment? Because why else would you do that?
I think there may be filter issues.
Filter issues.
Yes.
That's a great answer.
And I'm going to leave it at that. Don't get me into trouble.
Well, remember, all right. Adele said that she was drunk tweeting all the time.
Right.
And her management stepped in and was like, no, changed the password, did all that, and said, you are done. And she thanked them. She's like, well, thank God.
Right, so maybe that's what's needed here.
I could have gotten into some trouble.
Oh, that's incredible.
Someone needs to change his password.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right,
I'm
LA.
I'm not sure, though. I like it.
We talked about some of your amazing successes with signing Usher and signing Pink and TLC and all the great bands. But I'm going to put you on the spot here because I love the chapter in the book where you talked about how you blew it, and you're happy to admit it, with Lady Gaga. Would you mind sharing that with our listeners, too?
Yes. I'm going to share, it's shameful. I mean, it's really shameful. This amazingly talented young lady comes into my office to audition, sits down, sits at the piano, and she seduces the piano, the way she plays it and how she's at one with this instrument and she's singing. And it reminded me of like Elton John, Billy Joel, like piano rock. It wasn't the commercial dance music that this artist became famous for. But she was so talented. And when she was done, I said, you know what? I love you. I think you're incredible. I want to sign you. A. B. I think that you are important and will change music as we know it. And we signed her, and her name was Lady Gaga, and it was a wonderful thing. And a couple of months or so later, her demos arrived. Her first set of demos arrived through an A&R guy that worked for me at the time. And I listened to them, and I said, I don't know what I was doing that day, but I was dead wrong. This is not good.
Really?
Right. And wow. And usually I will say, okay, go back, try it again, work on something else, maybe find a new producer. But for whatever reason, on that particular day, I decided I want to part ways with it. And I dropped her.
Oh.
And
oops.
So I dropped her. And a couple months later.
How'd that work out, LA?
Oh, my God. Greatest decision ever. Not embarrassing at all.
This might be a good time for me to jump in and go, this month she's playing the Oscars, the Grammys, and sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I think he's aware of
that. That's just great. And So her record comes. She goes back to, I guess she goes out and gets signed by Interscope and Jimmy Iovine, who I love, by the way, who's crazy, incredible. And her record comes out. It's called Just Dance. It comes out in Canada. And I'm just looking at a Canadian dance chart, and I happened to see it. So I started to pay attention to it. But my reaction was, it's Just Dance, and it's on a Canadian chart. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. It doesn't mean I blew it.
I didn't blow it. Yeah. Then it goes to number one on that dance chart. I'm saying, well, still, it's Just Dance, and it's Canada, whatever. Then it starts to cross over, and before you know it, a star is born. And not only is a star born, like the biggest star in the world at that moment.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh, my God, you idiot. And I work with Doug Morris at Sony right now, but Doug and I also work together at Universal, and he always says, you know, you can get away with a lot of things. You can't get away with making the big mistake.
Yeah, right.
Well, I made the big mistake.
Look, there were 17 record labels that passed on the Beatles. I mean, you're not going to always be right. You're never going to be 100% in your business,
Ellie. But I'm worse. I signed her.
Yeah. Okay, right. And then let her go.
You are worse.
Right. That's
we'll give you that. We'll give you that. All right, we're running low on time.
No! Okay. Maybe, I want Mr. Reed to stay forever.
Maybe some quick answers. Maybe we can just throw out a bunch of topics. You went to Neverland.
I did.
Michael Jackson got his pasta cut into the shape of Disney characters. That happened.
Next question.
It's in the book. Kevin's not making it up.
That's crazy.
He loves Disney, Kevin.
It's cute. It was really
Let's be
cute.
Honest. If you could have that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably would. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, a pasta cutter?
Yeah. LA, you
I'm going to buy me a pasta cutter when I leave here.
You were a judge for 2 seasons on The X Factor with your friend Simon Cowell.
Yes.
Why do those shows not produce more stars? You signed Fifth Harmony. They were a big hit, but they're one of the only few I can think of from the U.S. X Factor.
Right.
What's the problem there?
There's a couple of things. I think that the people that sign up, the artists that sign up, it's a different kind of talent. For example, this is K-Rock, the artist that you play. Those artists, more likely than not, wouldn't sign up.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't sign up, right? So it's the quality of talent that signs up, first of all.
Most of the bands that I like wouldn't have won that competition.
They wouldn't have signed up. And
right.
They wouldn't have even tried.
Right.
Right. So it's a different kind of talent. Right. And then secondly, it's the public voting often. And the public is great. The public is great at telling you what works and what doesn't work until you ask them.
Okay. Right. And that's where it goes south?
Yeah, because then everybody becomes an expert.
Ah.
Right? Everybody becomes a talent scout or an A&R person, and that's not what everyone is. But if it's involuntary, you play a record on the radio, they love it,
they respond. Check the response, yeah.
Right?
Interesting.
But you ask them, and you got a different response.
Yeah.
Okay. You say that Outkast is the greatest artist you've ever worked with. Is that fair?
So far. But I'm still
They're
at
your
work.
Favorite. They're
I'm
your favorite.
I'm still at work. Yeah, they are. They are my favorite.
They
though.
Walked
yes.
into your office and sang, and you said, like you just said a couple of minutes ago, why don't you go back and try it again?
I did. I sent them back.
Twice?
Twice I sent them back. And on the third audition, they tore it up. It was incredible. I love them. I really love them.
I do,
them.
Too.
And I love how they just sort of morphed into a very different band than the first band that we signed, you know.
And when you see them incredible. Today and what they've become and how influential and how popular they are, have they far exceeded your expectations, even though you
yes.
were a fan from the beginning?
They have far exceeded my expectations. But also, if I'm honest, I'm a little disappointed because I don't think that they had to stop.
Yeah.
Right? They reached great heights, and in my opinion, they were not done. And maybe it's smart. Maybe they're smarter than the rest of us, because the good news is we'll never get to see a bad outcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Right? But they just weren't done. They were so good that I just thought there was so much more there. But yes, still proud of them. My favorite act ever.
How you feeling about Beyonce these days?
I think she's incredible. You know, that's
you've known her a long time. Are yeah. you surprised to see what she's turned into?
Yes, I am. I'm not surprised. When I met Beyonce at about 9 or 10 years old, and she was every bit the Beyonce that we know today.
Is that right?
Yeah, just as driven. You know, dancing, singing, just so spirited. She's the one artist that I'd like to really work with hands on. There aren't many, but there she's one.
That's not what he meant, Ben.
Oh, sorry. That's what I meant.
Nope.
Ellie, so
he rings a bell when people say anything remotely sexual.
It was very hot.
Just,
that's all.
Yeah.
All right.
Hands on for Beyonce.
No. No.
That's all I'm saying.
No.
No.
There are others you can ask me about, and I'll have that bell ringing. Bing, 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 bing.
Real quick plug for the current gig. You are the chairman and CEO of Epic Records. I mentioned Meghan Trainor. You signed A Great Big World.
Yes.
A very popular band as well. Who else are you excited about on Epic these days that you don't think we've seen the best work from yet?
Oh, my God. There's a few of them. There's a young lady I signed. Her name is Zara Larson, and she's an up-and-comer that I'm really excited about.
Okay.
And I signed too damn much, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I signed so many artists. I forget who I signed.
Is this a more difficult time with all of the outlets for music, with YouTube and SoundCloud and everything else? A more difficult time?
More difficult if you allow it to be, right? But I don't. I really don't. I look at it
all. What about the artists? What about the people that are trying to get noticed? Is it harder for them? Because of all the competing noise?
The platforms don't make the song sound better. You know what I mean? Or the artists sound better. It's just, it's more noise.
Okay.
It's more noise, but it doesn't cut through all the time, you know? And all the platforms are wonderful, and I'm involved in one, and I support everything. But you know what? There's nothing better than radio. There's nothing better. It's when you play it that it matters, you know? Because then it's curated. And we get the best of the best when we listen to the radio. And I love that. So
wish everybody felt like that.
Yeah, I still feel like that's still the number one amplifier of what we do. And everything else is wonderful. But it's sometimes it's noise.
Right. Well, we're going to have to unfortunately leave it there for today, Mr. Reed. But what a thrill. What an honor to have you come by the show. We really appreciate it. The book is outstanding, like
Thank
I said
you.
When you sat down. If anyone has any interest in music or the music business or a really interesting personal story of a guy who's led a fascinating life, the book is called Sing to Me, My Story of Making Music, Finding Magic, and Searching for Who's Next. It is available on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Let's do it again one day, LA.
I would love to. And I did so good navigating those waters while I wrote the book. And then I walked and K-Rock and I blow it. I just said so many things about so many people.
Well,
anyway, read the book, guys. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
We want to squeeze in some of your phone calls in between Mr. L.A. Reed and our next guest, Eliza Schlesinger, who'll be joining us in studio next hour. You can call us right now on any topic, whatever's on your mind. If you've got comments, you've got questions, you've got thoughts, you've got problems, we want to hear about it all at 1-800-520-1067. We are here for you. Kevin Bean's What's Good is coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
We mentioned last hour that Johnny Depp, it has been announced, will be starring the upcoming Universal remake of their classic horror film, The Invisible Man. Famously starring Claude Rains back in the 1930s. It was one of the original Universal movies that created their cavalcade of monsters with Dracula and Frankenstein, the Wolfman. And now Johnny Depp will be playing that role in their new film. And while we're talking about Johnny, I did want to get the word out. It just showed up today on funnyordie.com. Do yourself a favor. Go watch the video that they've
Puppy
done.
Monkey Baby.
Not Puppy Monkey Baby, no. Oh. Which would be a great horror movie, though. Maybe Universal should consider a Puppy Monkey Baby.
Well, it is terrifying.
It is Johnny Depp as Donald J. Trump. In the movie version of the book, The Art of the Deal.
So this is a fake trailer on Funny or Die?
It's not a trailer.
What? Oh, okay.
It is Johnny Depp as Donald J. Trump in the movie of The Art of the Deal based on the book, The Art of the Deal, as if it was written, starring, and directed by Donald Trump in the 80s and a TV movie that was only aired once and then was lost to history until director Ron Howard uncovers it and brings it to you today.
I'm not sure I followed all of that, but I'm with you.
All right. Imagine in the 80s when the book The Art of the Deal, was a big smash bestseller.
Right.
Donald J. Trump, in all his ego, decided to write, direct, and star in a TV movie version of that book.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay. And we're watching it on an old VHS copy, basically, is what happens at Funny or Die. Now, Johnny Depp is playing Donald Trump in the movie. It's an hour long.
Wow. Oh my God.
They've done a full movie based on The Art of the Deal, which is so cutting, so funny, so hilarious on so many levels that I just can't stop watching it.
I bet it has the best words.
It does have the best words. The premise is, because Donald Trump wrote it, a kid steals a copy of Art of the Deal because you can't buy it in bookstores because it's sold out everywhere. And he accidentally runs into Donald Trump, and Donald Trump tells him, all right, kid, let me tell you about my story, and acts it out.
God.
It's got Patton Oswalt as Merv Griffin in it. It's got Paul Shearer in it. I just want to roll around in it. It's so sweet on so many levels. Here's a clip. It starts off with Ron Howard talking about how he discovered this film that Donald Trump said he would never air again because it was preempted in most markets by Monday Night Football in a horrible game between the Colts and the Browns where the only scores were safeties and the Colts won 4-2.
That's true?
No! Oh, okay. God damn it! It's a joke, Kevin! It's a joke. God damn it. Here's Ron Howard introing the movie before he shows it to you from Funny or Die.
He disappeared for decades until last summer when it turned up at a yard sale outside Phoenix, Arizona. I had to physically wrestle it from a nice woman named Jenny. Much stronger than she looked. Very persistent. Proud of what happened, but what's done is done.
What's done is done. So he gets this VHS copy and he's going to show it to us all. And here's the kid who runs into Donald Trump, again, played by Johnny Depp, in his office at the beginning of Donald telling his story.
Holy cowabunga. You're Donald Trump.
That is my name, and you cannot wear it out. Trust me. You must really want this book.
All the stores are sold out.
Do you know that this is the second best-selling book of all time? After the Bible, which took 12 guys to write. And you know what? It's boring.
It just goes off. I'm telling you, it's just magic. It's just a little piece of magic.
But it's real, though, right?
It happened.
But that really happens?
When did it happen?
Is that real? For real it happens? This movie is for real?
How does Johnny Depp have time to make an hour-long Funny or Die?
I have no idea. And it came out of nowhere. No one knew it was happening. And it just appeared today magically on our internet. And it's the reason the internet was invented. So find yourself an hour to sit down and watch it. It's just, And he's trying to get the Taj Mahal casino from Merv Griffin. And Patton Oswalt plays Merv Griffin by the pool. And it just gets better and better as it goes on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Grace Moretz is 19 years old. Emma Roberts is 25. See, it's a fictional version, Kevin. It's a fictional version of what would have happened if Donald Trump had made a movie. It didn't really happen.
But he made it in the 80s.
Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine is 35. Uzo Adiba is 35. Elizabeth Banks turns 42. And actress Laura Dern turns 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I watch the show this week.
Our friend, the very funny Eliza Schlesinger, is here with her little dog, Blanche. And she'll be joining us in studio in about 10 minutes. First, though, how about some of your calls? It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Kevin, if you had spent 10 hours trying to guess what the topics on the board would be today, would line 2, Melanie, and El Segundo ever have come to mind?
No.
Melanie?
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
What's good?
What's good?
You guys brought up Alexander Graham Bell yesterday super briefly while you were playing Famous Graham,
mm-hmm.
right? And I just didn't know if you guys knew that he's a big douchebag.
First of all, why so soon do you bring this up? But second of all, why was Alexander Graham Bell a douchebag? I did get some emails yesterday reminding me that he is one of those guys who apparently stole the patent for the invention that made him famous. Like, he didn't invent the telephone. He just stole it from some dude who couldn't afford to patent it. Is that what you're talking about?
No. I mean, that's true, but no.
Okay.
He practiced eugenics. Do you guys know what that is?
Yes. That's
I don't know what that is.
That's – That's Hitler talk is what that is.
Exactly.
Let's make everybody white people.
Okay.
Right. Well, it was, essentially that's what you can boil it down to. But he would, he thought that we should breed people like we're cows or something so mm-hmm. that we would, eliminate the traits that he didn't find desirable. So he right. was part of the American Breeders Association.
And by the way, that was a really that was not an outside the mainstream thought process back then. I don't know if you watched The Nick, but they did a whole storyline on it this past season where all these guys in like the 1910s and whatnot are getting together and saying, look, we should sterilize minorities, basically, because they're screwing up the gene pool. I mean, that was a commonly held belief among a lot of people.
Yeah, the lower class, he thought they were undesirable, and he wanted to forcefully sterilize them, as well as, like, deaf people. And
does that mean we can't use him as an answer in a game?
No. No.
Okay.
Mean, he's famous, and he has Graham in his name.
Okay. See, that's all we were looking for.
But the takeaway here is that Alexander Graham Bell's a dick. That's what you want to share with us, right, Melody?
Big old douchebag.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
That's good input. That's exactly what we want.
Right.
Hey, let's go to George, line 5. He's in Monterey Park. It sounds like he wants some romance advice from Kevin and Bede, so he came to the right place.
Wow. George.
Yeah, actually, I need a scientific survey. I purchased a gift from my wife for Valentine's Day, and I ended up giving it to her early. She was going to an event. I thought it would look good with her outfit. So my question is, am I on the hook to get her something else?
Yes.
How early did you give it to her?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, George, dude. Get shopping.
You're stupid.
That is a fail.
You're
what were you thinking? I mean, you said what you were thinking is I bought it for Valentine's Day, but it would look nice tonight. But you should have waited, dude. It's on you.
Yeah, that's on you.
Although I would laugh if you took a picture of whatever it was, necklace, earrings, whatever, put that in a box and you were like, remember? That would be funny.
Does she find you funny still, George? Nope. Okay. Buy something
else. Buy something.
Thank you for the call.
All right. Let's squeeze in one more. I like Mike in Woodland Hills on line 7. Who do you like, Kevin?
That's fine.
Go with Mike? Let's go with Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So my wife and I are watching The People versus OJ. Mm-hmm. And now I have to put this into frame so you understand. My wife is 24.
Okay.
And I'm 35.
Right.
So oh, you lucky guy.
Night, my mom,
that's not the end of it, Bean.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were just bragging. Sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I am bragging. Yes, I am bragging. So last night during the car chase, my wife keeps pausing in and she's like, Is he really going to kill himself? Like, do you think O.J.'s going to really kill? I'm like, you know who O.J. Simpson is. Like, you know that he's in jail. Why would you think that O.J.'s going to kill himself? And I'm like, she keeps stopping and asking me. She's like, is this person a real person? I'm like, yes, you know all these. But I guess since she's, like, 24, she wasn't around. And since I'm 35 and...
I imagine there are a lot of people who just, that's one of the things in history that they weren't paying attention to at the time or weren't even alive for.
Of course. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And look, Mike, you didn't marry a 24-year-old because she was smart either.
Bean.
What? I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, thanks for saying.
Wait till she sees how it ends. Boy, is her mind going to be blown when he's acquitted.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. All right, Mike. Thanks for calling.
What's good?
Just had a listener on the phone a couple of minutes ago who blew it by giving the Valentine's Day present that he had bought for his girlfriend early. He gave it to her 2 weeks early, so now he's on the hook for another present for this weekend. What about going to the Irvine Improv to see Eliza Schlesinger? What about that as Valentine's Day plans?
Yes.
Am I right?
Come see me.
Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night, and then a very special Valentine's Day show, which is going to be at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Tickets available at improv.com. Again, it's the Irvine Improv, starting at only $22. How are you, Eliza?
I'm great. I'm very excited for the Valentine's show. We're going to dye all the food red, and I've got a whole pig blood thing planned.
Excellent. Oh. It sounds very romantic.
Red is the color of romance. And there's only a couple tickets left, and I know comics say that, like when like no one's buying tickets. Like,
gotta hurry.
It's going to sell out. I'm warning you.
Yeah, we've done that too.
For sure. But some of the shows actually are sold out. So hustle.
That's right. Fantastic.
Yeah. Now she might die.
I might die.
Yeah, I was going to ask. You are well, I hope, because we were a little bit concerned, because I know you're generally very reliable, but you did call in sick yesterday.
I appreciate that. I am stalwart. a stalwart comic. I was genuinely sick, and I had a whole day of press that we'd lined up for improv, and I was just, for the improv shows, and I just was like, I texted my publicist, which sounds like a jerky thing to say. I texted my publicist from my mansion, and I was just like, I can't, please go on without me. And I didn't want to get you guys sick, and
today you're fine with it, though.
I just sound bad. Okay. Today I'm fine with getting you sick. Okay. They won't know I'm sick because I have a cough button. I have something to say about the person who bought the purse for his girlfriend.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. who cares what you look like going to see Jennifer Lopez? She will always look better than you. Why bother?
Well, I think a lady still wants to get dressed up, though, and she still wants to impress her man and her friends, doesn't she?
It's a purse. It ain't going to do it.
Okay. Oh, it was a purse that he bought her?
Is that what I heard in the interview? It was a purse?
I thought he bought her a blouse or something.
A blouse? Even sexier. What man doesn't love a flowy blouse?
I don't think I know.
I assumed it was jewelry.
I caught it.
We don't know what he got her?
This is like 10 minutes ago.
This is like a Rorschach test of what we all immediately think of when it comes to
the producer in the other room said purse.
Okay.
Okay, maybe he didn't get
that. That's 50-50 with him, though. He's 50-50 at best.
Okay, was it purse?
They are saying purse.
Let's go with
purse.
Purse.
Okay. That's what
they're saying.
That's
the weirdest gift. It's a little like, oh, did you watch a rat video from the 90s? You got her a purse and, like, what, a Gucci belt? Like,
a pair of hoop ears?
Yeah, right?
And by the way,
that's a bad Valentine gift.
He's
that's
way more in touch with his partner than I am because in a million years, and Kevin, I suspect you're the same way, I could never competently buy a purse for my wife. There's no way.
I wouldn't try.
I wouldn't even begin to know how to start.
You know what?
The process.
It's a younger thing, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. It's not a white thing. I know that sounds weird, but, like, you don't see – it's more of, like, I could see, like, a rapper doing it. Mm-hmm. I could see, like, I don't know, like, a cool, like, Latino, like, 20-something guy. Like, I listen to all the rap videos. I know the cool Givenchy labels. I know, like, the cool thing. I can't see a man that I would date being like, all right, so I was listening to all of the music. I know what's cool. I went out to the mall and got you a purse.
By the way, he also said he got the purse, but he thought it would go really well with her outfit when she was going out that night.
So,
also wouldn't do that.
Right. So you're saying he's gay.
But also, how far in advance did she plan this outfit that it had been, like, hanging in the door of their bedroom? And she's like, that's the outfit, babe. That's what I'm going to wear. And he was like, I see it, babe. I see it. I'm going to the mall. I'll be right back. It's purple. You're purple. Here it is.
I love the rich backstory you've created for this couple because in your mind, she's got a countdown clock. She's like, oh, 34 days, man, until I put that outfit on. We're going to go to that show. It's going to be great.
I just, and I think the thought that counts, it is too early, and because...
You agree with us, though. He has to buy something else now.
You do. I mean...
He blew it.
It depends on what brand the purse was. Like, is it Exhilaration from Target? Is it Coach? What did we do here?
So if it was expensive, you could say, hey, by the way, that purse that I gave you was...
Couch for Valentine's Day.
I don't feel like that would work.
That would be... You would get broken up with.
Right.
Oh, by the way, like going back on it, that person.
Okay,
remember
so
that thing
he has
I
to
did
buy something else.
Around December? That's your Christmas. That's your Valentine's Day present.
Eliza, are you tough to buy for? Are you a tough sell when it comes to a gift?
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
That's
I think
sort
every
of
girl
sad.
Says no.
Okay.
But
are you tough to impress? Like, is there something somebody could give you that you would be hard for them to blow you away?
I know, you know what? I really do. Okay, there's like this weird valley in between. It is the thought that counts. So when someone you don't know well gives you a gift, it's like, oh my God, you didn't have to do that.
You did something. That's amazing.
But nothing will send me into a rage more than when like a close family member gets me a bad gift. Because I'm like, I didn't need a milk frother. I didn't want it. What am I supposed to do with it?
So that's not the thought that counts then.
I just got a milk frother and I was very excited.
What the hell is
a
milk frother?
It's like a mini electric whisk and you put it in the milk and it froths it.
For why?
For drinking.
For
so it's foamy. I want foamy milk.
Okay, take it easy.
I enter every relationship. I want foamy. This is actually sad. My dad was just visiting and my dad prides himself. He'll leave my house and be like, you know, my parents are from New York. I saw you were missing something, so I got you a new towel. Like, he'll get me something. And I didn't have my DVD player out because it's 2016. So yesterday I opened my door and there was an early birthday present.
Oh.
There was a brand new DVD player, but I do have one. It just wasn't out. Now I have two pieces of non-functioning equipment.
But it was an early birthday gift, so he's still on the hook for another one.
That's right. Dad.
Right.
By the way, speaking of birthdays, I want to mention this real quick before we have to take a break. Eliza Schlesinger is here again, Irvine Improv, this weekend. There are just a few tickets left, improv.com. You are a genius woman are spending your birthday in a few days here in Hawaii. Like, you planned that out.
I did. Well, genius and maybe it's a little sad. A couple months ago, I called my agent and I said, I just want to play somewhere cool for my birthday. And then he called back. He's like, I booked you in Hawaii. And
all right.
So it's cool. And then this is so sad, but I'm going to be honest about it. So like months ago, like there was this one guy I was talking to and I was like, yo, you should come to Hawaii if I'm not dating anyone, because you don't, you know, you can't make that plan.
Right.
And then, of course, time goes by and you whatever. I had assumed I would have a boyfriend by now between the time I booked it and this. And so, but now I've run out of options, so it's just going to be me alone. I can't even bring the dog. It's just going to be me.
Why can't you bring the dog? Emotional support.
I think it's too sunny for her and she doesn't like the ocean.
Okay.
And then even sadder is Valentine's Day. Going there, like everyone's going to be there on dates, so I'm there with like 500 adoring fans, but it's going to be me and my agent and my podcast producer. Like that's my date for Valentine's Day.
It's not super sexy.
It's still better than mine.
But what's yours?
Yeah, no,
just
one.
Her.
No
thing.
You want to come to the improv?
I might watch
just Home Alone.
Do you want free showroom fries? Because I'll take you to the improv. Free. They've got all kinds of food.
You're too good
Eliza,
to me.
Yeah. Why did this conversation start out with I want to work someplace cool on my birthday? Like, why do you want to work on your birthday?
It's a weekend.
I see. So you work most weekends. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, my birthday is February 22nd. No big deal. And that's
all right. We'll remember. We'll send
you
a milk frother.
Please send me a candle box T-shirt or whatever you got left over.
Oh, no.
Good pull.
We had to call out in the lobby.
Eliza is here. We'll take a quick break. More with our guests right after this. Okay, right. Our friend Eliza Schlesinger in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow her on Twitter at Eliza. Kevin, how is that spelled? Just to help out, maybe.
How dare you? Iliza.
I believe that's correct this time. Well done.
Thank you.
She has a podcast on iTunes called Truth and Eliza. You can see her at the Irvine Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets at improv.com. Yes. Why did you spend your whole Super Bowl Sunday arguing with people who don't like Beyonce, Eliza?
I spent yesterday arguing with them. Did I do it Sunday?
I thought you did it Sunday after the performance, but maybe I may have just got the timeline wrong. But you seem to be heavily invested into Formation, as I am too, by the way. I don't think we're talking enough about how awesome Formation is. But how did you get into a fight with so many people over it?
Yesterday, first of all, the song is so moving. On a surface level, you're like, this beat is sick. I enjoy this. It made me say something like, this beat is sick. And then you watch the video, and she's so brilliant. She dropped it the day before, and so it got everybody into it.
She owned Super Bowl weekend. She owned it.
And thank God. I mean, Bruno Mars is a force to be reckoned with. So the two of them together, and Chris Martin was there. we got to hear our whale mating noises, and all the white people were happy. I just think everybody got so up in arms because they were like, oh, it's a Black Panther formation. First of all, like 1% of people maybe understood that reference. She wasn't advocating. My whole point was she wasn't advocating to kill white people. She wasn't advocating for anything violent. She was advocating for empowerment. Here's a gorgeous woman telling African-American people, like, by the way, I like an afro and I like that my man's got a big nose. And to hear that as part of a minority, to hear a leader of your own community say, by the way, the way you look is okay. And her message wasn't violent. Her message was, please stop shooting us, and I carry hot sauce in my bag, and my baby's cute. What's less threatening than that? The fact that anybody could find a problem with this.
All right, I agree with every word that comes out of your mouth on this topic.
Thank you.
Then I turn on my TV, and there's Sean Hannity and Mayor Giuliani on there talking about how she's trying to overthrow the government. I mean, it was just crazy how out of control that the backlash got to that.
I watched some of the things where they sort of tried to diminish her efforts. They're like, I don't even understand what she was saying. It's like, that's because you're old, dude. Like, I mean, that's just dumb. And I'm shocked to hear that. Something more about Rudy Giuliani's mouth. I think people kind of liked him. Sean Hannity, I could see that. But to say she's making a sociopolitical statement, not just political, which kind of softens it because of the social aspect. The idea that if she was trying to overthrow the government, I don't think that they would have allowed that at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
but some would argue, just playing devil's advocate here, that the Super Bowl is never the place to make a social or political statement.
But I mean, isn't it like, okay, a social statement is heal the world, right? Michael Jackson did that. All she was saying was, I'm proud to be black. She wasn't saying, I don't like white people. She wasn't saying, Black Lives Matter, white lives don't. And to be honest, like, I'm all for being fair, but they are a heavily oppressed group, African-Americans, who came to, I mean, this might be the wrong station for this, but they came to this country. They've been here just as long as most white people and still just can't, you know, and we say you can be our athletes and you can be our singers and our performers, but we're not going to take you seriously otherwise. I'd be mad as hell. if I was a black woman, which I kind of am.
Are you a black woman?
I feel it sometimes. I mean, I like being white. It's got a lot of great for sure. Been on top for a while now.
So what is it like for you? And Allie, I know you're listening with interest to this conversation because you've had your fair share of back and forth on the Twitter machine. But what was it like for you seeing the kinds of people that came at you on that topic?
Talking to me?
Yeah, talking to you.
Well, it's weird because I had, like, yesterday I went on a tweet rant, and if you're dumb and you just pick out one tweet, you could easily argue that I was saying something that I wasn't meaning. And so you get, like, one or two girls that'll just be like, oh, another dumb B word just out there flapping her yap. And it's just like, and then you almost want to get racist and be like, listen, I was doing my best. But it's not even about being racist. It's just the right thing. And also, nothing Beyonce does is wrong. Like, she's built that way. She doesn't misspeak. She doesn't misstep. She never messes up.
She does seem perfect. That's
Here's my love for Beyonce was rekindled recently when I was sick in a hotel room in Connecticut. I was at Mohegan Sun with the same cold, and I happened to click on Jay-Z and Beyonce's On the Run tour on HBO.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
I sat there with my cystic acne and my running nose with no bra on, just like, yes, go Beyonce, slay, do it. I feel it. So strong. And you just realize what a consummate performer she is. She's the greatest entertainer in the world. Sorry,
yeah,
Celine.
She's tops right now.
Wait, you were apologizing to Celine Dion?
Because she calls herself the greatest singer in the world.
And look what God did to her recently.
Hey,
Eliza Schlesinger is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Irvine Improv this weekend. Is your TBS game show, is that still a thing?
It is a thing. It is a very much a thing. He doesn't want to talk about minority rights anymore.
I feel good about it.
Yeah, TBS, Separation Anxiety, my game show, premieres March 8th. So it's coming out of March Madness, I think. That's what I'm told.
What's our little friend Adam Ray doing on the show? Because we love Adam.
Adam Ray will be he's a sidekick co-host. So I'm on the main stage, and he is on a small, quasi-hidden stage.
Okay.
I'll explain the way the game works. The game is Separation Anxiety. So we take two people. You can be best friends. You can be sisters, boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife. Two people that have a relationship. And you sign up for what you think is an internet game show.
Okay.
You see an ad, you're like, oh, come play on internet game show. You can win $2,500. We'll fly you to Atlanta. Most people will do this because you get to do something fun. When you get to the studio, this is all on hidden camera, we separate you. We say, you see this on camera, we're like, you know what? We were going to have you play together, but Kevin and Bean, we're actually going to separate you guys. So Kevin, you stay here, and Bean, we're going to take you into a green room. You'll chill out while Kevin plays the game. So Bean goes down the hall, and he opens a door to a green room. And when he opens that door, all the lights come up, and I'm standing there with 100 people on a giant soundstage. I'm like, Bean, welcome to Separation Anxiety. Kevin thinks he's playing for $2,500 on a fake internet game show. What he doesn't know is that you guys are actually playing for $250,000, and you're controlling the categories that he gets quizzed on.
Okay.
I'm controlling the categories that Bean gets quizzed on?
Bean controls the categories that you get quizzed on.
Oh, my God.
So it's a small list of categories.
Well, so it's all about how well do you know him. So I would say vintage cars or Beyonce video. And then you'd be like, I don't know. He loves cars, but he loves Beyonce. This is a tough one. And so Adam hosts the fake game show. And I'm there. And so it's about, like, and he could control the one that's in the smaller stage could control the game, so he could stop it. He can keep playing. So you're in there.
So does Bean know what he's doing in this particular?
He doesn't know what's
going
on.
He doesn't know either.
He thinks he's playing a crappy internet game show for $2,500. Okay. Each question he answers is worth 100 times more than he thinks it is.
Okay.
To get to $250,000, so he'll get to like 1,000, and he's like, "I'll just keep playing." You're like, "Oh my God, that's $100,000!" And I'll tell you what, I consider myself a very good host. I am terrible with math, so I'll be like, "This next question." You think is $1,000 is actually worth 100 times more. It's 10,000. 100,000. Can someone please put it on a cue card?
That sounds crazy.
It's intense.
Show.
It's a little convoluted, but then you watch it and just to see what these people go through. And we really try to get a good backstory out of them. You don't want to hear, if I win my prize money, I'll probably go to Mexico on vacation. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear the stories. These people have these altruistic stories. One guy was a serviceman, and he, a military member, and he won a lot of, he won some money, and it was teary-eyed. Some people, one of their parents had passed away. Like, there's all these human stories, so you're happy that they win the money.
But at the end, with the reveal, it sounds like this is set up so that those people could no longer be friends or relatives.
If they, you know what? We always make sure, because nobody wants to, like, I, as much as I would love a show where it's like, you lost, and she's not talking to you anymore. Thanks for watching TBS.
Gotta get your own flight home.
Yeah. We have all these prizes you can win, so even if you don't win anything, like, you could still leave with a trip to, like, Mexico or something.
Right. And they thought they were going for $2,500 anyway.
Right. Yes. So everybody leaves with something. You get to be on TV. And you're so blinded by the experience in the first place. By the time realize what's happening, you're already back in the town car on the way back to a Hyatt. So,
was there some part of you that for a long time has wanted to host a game show? Or are you surprised to find out this is what your show is?
Am I surprised to find out that this is what my life is? No, but, you know, they came to me and they said, we'd love to offer this to you. And they, this is a big thing for comedians. They said, you can make it your own. We're coming to you because we want you to be funny. If they had said, look, we got all these cue cards, here's some bad jokes, I just wouldn't have done it. But the objective in entertaining is to get to perform on bigger, better stages and get to do your comedy to a broad audience. So, yes, it's a game show, but it's really just a platform for me to get to be funny and make some people feel good. So, you know, you can't really walk away from that.
No, yeah, sounds good.
Why not? And they paid me so much money.
Tuning in to watch Seinfeld reruns anyway, so why the hell not watch Separation Anxiety, right?
That's true.
It debuts on TBS March 8th. And by the way, Adam Ray is going to be joining us on that morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk some more about
nice,
the show. So
Adam.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. We got to say goodbye. Eliza, I'm sorry we're out of time.
That's okay.
Irvine Improv is going to be super fun this weekend.
Okay.
You got the Pig's Blood act on Valentine's Day, right? Sunday night. That's going to be awesome.
Pig's Blood is my opening act.
All right,
so everyone
good.
Bring a poncho.
Okay. All right. So Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. Some seats for some shows still available. Go to improv.com. We love you so much. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, Drumline.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Minutes away from your tickets for the Grammy Museum at LA Live this Saturday night with Death Cab for Cutie performing live. We're going to give you those right after the Showbiz Beat with Ralph here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Death Cab for Cutie. You know it's hot?
What's hot?
You know what the hottest song in America is? Well, you're busy sitting there in your beanbag chairs looking at your lava lamps, fingering your puka shells.
I don't think you've...
You know what's happening? What's hip? What's now? What's today?
I never put my finger in my puka, by the way. That's Kanye.
Yep.
I mean.
Back to you, Ralph.
Back to you.
Hottest song in the world right now, and you don't even know about it. That's how cool it is. That's how hip it is. It's happening all around you, and you're not even aware. It is the number one song on Spotify, number one in the iTunes Top 100 for rock songs. It's a monster hit. I give you Disturbed's cover of Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence. That's right, you heard me. Disturbed took a 50-year-old song and covered it, and boom! Captured our whimsy.
You're saying it's number one in all of those places?
Yes.
Why would they do that? Why would Disturbed do a Paul Simon song? It just doesn't seem like that would be music that would connect to them in any way.
Sound of Silence connects with everyone, Bean.
All right.
Because their words, like silent raindrops, fell.
Okay. That is nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And no one could tell. About the sound of silence.
Okay.
Here's a little taste.
When my eyes were stand by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence.
That's not the Disturbed I thought I knew.
This is not the first, but the third single release off their most recent album, Immortalized. And industry insiders are just accounting it to word of mouth. People are just spreading this song like wildfire.
Huh. Hmm.
So you got that going for you.
Huh.
How about that?
Hmm.
Speaking of music, this is going to catch you by surprise, too. Belly is back.
Belly?
Remember Belly?
Barely.
Come on, Belly.
I don't think I remember a song.
What if I say these three words to you?
Is that a friend of Madonna?
No.
Oh, Belly. I don't know.
Feed the tree.
Oh, feed the tree.
Feed the tree.
Feed the tree.
Feed the tree.
Those words don't make any sense to me.
Feed the tree.
How does that help?
Listen, feed the tree.
One, two, three, four.
Feed the tree.
Now we're talking early 90s, right?
Yes.
For Belly.
Ben is reunited.
Yes!
To play a bunch of shows in the UK and US this summer.
Oh, when?
Belly is back. Right?
I mean, do we need Belly?
More than ever. Now more than ever. In the light of Disturbed Sounds of Silence, we need a Belly.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Then? I guess.
I just hope the reunification doesn't fall flat for them. I would feel bad. No one wants to see a Belly flop.
We have an entire file from today.
Kanye West wants you to know that Bill Cosby's innocent. He tweeted that last night, in case you were sleeping. Bill Cosby's innocent, according to Kanye.
Right.
Which caused Twitter to go, what?
Impressive.
Listen to the kids, bro!
Impressive.
Even his followers were like, come on. This is my favorite, one of my favorite responses to the tweet from a fan, from a Kanye fan. It's getting progressively harder to continue loving you like I do when you are continually so dense, wrote one Kanye fan.
I feel like that's just him trolling, don't you?
Has to be.
I suppose.
Because he doesn't have any way of knowing whether Bill Cosby is
innocent.
Look,
we live in a world where B.O.B. says the world is flat.
Right? Yeah, well.
I mean, don't ever underestimate the stupidity of people.
Yeah, and you can say whatever you want, I guess.
That's the moral. That's the code I like to live by. Just assume everyone's just dumb as ass. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Grace Moretz is 19 years old. Emma Roberts turns 25. Stephanie Beatriz. Detective Rosa Diaz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine's 35 last night. Great Brooklyn Nine-Nine last night, by the way.
It's always funny.
It's always funny. You're right. And also last night was... New Girl, the first New Girl with Megan Fox.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Let me tell you a little something, a little secret.
Yeah.
She crushed it.
Did she really?
Megan Fox is hilarious in that episode. I did not think she had the chops, but she is really funny. And this character is going to be very fun to watch, I think.
Fantastic.
I'm excited to see it. Now, the deal is that Jess is not on the show right now because in real life, this is when Zoe was pregnant, so they kind of had to write her out for a few episodes, and they put her on jury duty, right?
She's sequestered in a jury. She got on a jury, Allie.
Yeah, how about that?
Unlike you.
Yeah, I'm a loser.
The court system wanted to have her adjudicate a case, whereas you apparently did not have what it took.
So here's what I want to know. So
and Bean can't even be asked. He's not even invited to the party.
Right.
So Schmidt is still engaged to Cece, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Cece allowed Megan Fox to move into the loft with Schmidt and Nick.
Well.
And Winston.
See, Bean, this is what happens when you come from a place of ignorance. This is what happens.
I'm just asking. It doesn't seem like there's a fiancé in the world that would say to her man, yeah, go ahead and have Megan Fox move in with you.
Well, it turns out when Megan's character, shows up into the loft, Cece and Megan realize that they have met before when they were both partying at the MTV Beach House that summer.
All right.
And then when they ended up in bed together.
Okay.
All
right. Very lucky.
Actually, Schmidt is the one who has the problem with jealousy because Megan and Cece are actually former lovers.
Daddy likey.
See, not with a kid saying it.
Don't have anyone say that, really.
Okay, anyway. I'm in.
Better.
I'm in.
So therein lies the right. Rub.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Oh, there's a rub, too?
No.
All right.
Wow.
I'm totes in.
Who says totes?
It just gets worse.
Just stop.
There's something going on, and it's bad.
Yes.
It won't
stop.
It's you.
His name is Bean.
Uzo Adaba from Orange the New Black is 35. Elizabeth Banks is 42. And Laura Dern turns 49 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our next guest began her NHRA career in 2005 and now has 99 professional races under her belt. She'll be racing for the 100th NHRA race this weekend at the 56th Annual Circle K NHRA Winter Nationals. Please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, Alexis DeJoria. Hey, Alexis.
Hey, guys.
How are you? Good to see you again.
Great. Nice to be back.
100 races. How's it feel to you when you start thinking about that in terms of 10 years of work?
100 pro starts. It blows me away. You know, in the grand scheme of things, racing in Nitro Funny Car for 5 years isn't that long when you pair it up against all these older heads like John Force and Ron Capps and them. I mean, I'm fairly, mm-hmm. new to this game, but overall, I've been racing for over 10 years in NHRA drag racing, but the 100th pro race for me, it's a huge milestone, and I just feel so blessed to be able to still do this, and call it a job.
This is a big one. The Circle K Winter Nationals is a big race.
It is. It's the first one of the season. It kicks off, everything basically. It's like, you kind of need to knock the dust off in testing, but the first race of the season is also, it's important because, it's kind of like paves the way for the rest of the year. So,
best moment and worst moment of your career so far?
Best moment was winning the U.S. Nationals, beating one of my heroes and the person that signed my Nitro license, beating him in the finals on both ends of the racetrack. On the starting line, I had a killer light. I had like a 036 light and, nailed it down to the finish line. Just the biggest day of our lives. I mean, if you never win a race and you win the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis,
you're good.
You've made it.
You're good. You made it, right.
There's plenty of drivers out there that have won races but have never won that race in particular, and it's like it haunts them.
And how about a bad day on the track, Alexis?
Oh, I've had a few of those.
You've had some wrecks, right?
It comes with the territory when you put nitromethane in a race car. But even before that, I would say my absolute worst day ever was when my parachutes ripped off the back of my car in Englishtown. It's like the second shortest track from the finish line to the sand pit. And my parachutes ripped off my car. I lost my brakes, and I flew down that track. Those cars, the way that they are, styled and everything, they just cut through the air. They don't slow down. There's no downforce in the alcohol funny cars.
So
I flew. I went over the sand. I was going over 120 miles an hour still.
I don't feel like that's ideal.
Yeah.
You said one of the shortest tracks.
It is.
Oh,
it is,
God.
Too. So,
and you have no way to stop.
No way to stop. I went over the sand. I went through both catch nets and like finally stopped on the fourth row of those big sand-filled barrels, the plastic barrels at the end.
Oh, my gosh.
And finally stopped in the front from the motor plate forward. It was like an L shape.
Wow.
Were you injured? Straight up. My ego was hurt a little bit.
If that's all, you're super lucky.
I was very lucky. All our safety equipment, worked. And the car did exactly what it was supposed to do. If I went in at any other angle, I might not have been talking to you guys right now. So that's
been a
tough
track. What was the next race like? The next time you got in the car to do the same thing?
Oh, God. The next race at that track was pretty brutal. I'm like two.
maybe skip that one.
Yeah. I was two pairs back. It's the first time I'm back there since the crash, and all of a sudden it gets completely quiet, and I see my guys come back and they're like, get out of the car, and I was like, what the hell? What happened? And they told me, he had crashed down there, doesn't look good. And they're telling everybody to go back to their pits. And that's a bad sign.
Wow,
so,
somber moment.
And he didn't make it. So.
Oh,
wow. Oh, my goodness.
I saw your car blow up on YouTube. I saw your car blow up. I thought that might lead that list, but it's not even.
No.
It's not even in the top three.
Call me crazy, but in a sick way, I kind of enjoyed it.
Oh, my God, Alexis.
What is wrong with you?
Well, because it could have been worse. I could have, been on fire. Luckily, the detonation happened and it blew everything away from me, and it was, the fire was out instantly. You know, in some cases that I've seen, it's like having a blowtorch right on your face. You know, when,
wow,
the, when the fire is going and the body doesn't go away from you, it like concentrates the flame straight on
you. I saw a racer in his underwear running around on the track yelling.
That was Will Ferrell, Kevin. That didn't happen.
Save me, Oprah. Save me, Tom Cruise.
You suck.
This is the voice of our guest, Alexis DeJoy, here on the Kevin Beach Show, talking about the 56th annual Circle K NHRA Winter Nationals this weekend at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. What is the, in layman's terms, Alexis, because I know very little, next to nothing about automobiles, what is the science of a nitro funny car?
God, it's a bucking Bronco.
The science is, though, I mean, what's the mixture that you're running on? What's your fuel?
God, I want to
like
say
just pure rocket.
We're, I think, are we at 98% nitro? I could be wrong on that.
Well,
the crew chiefs are listening right now.
And how
like,
do you?
And that's why you don't tune the car,
right? And how, but how is there not a stray spark that causes boom?
There's
good question.
Plenty of things. I mean, it's really a bomb waiting to go off. I mean, there's just so many variables, so many things you have to take into consideration in these race cars.
I love that her job description is climb into a bomb waiting to go off.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're over 10,000 horsepower, and they're even faster. We've gotten so much quicker in the last 6 months.
How much to you is so much quicker? What's the difference in time?
Well, we're talking like thousandths of a second, but, you know, 5 miles an hour faster, maybe, you know, more than that. I mean, the cars are going 330 miles an hour in 1,000 feet now.
Oh wow. My!
In 1,000 feet.
I want everybody to picture that for a moment.
That's amazing. I think Matt Hagen ran the first 330, and I mean that was big on the quarter mile. But they cut us back, you know, 320 feet to 1,000 feet to accommodate all the tracks like Englishtown, who can't extend their shutdown area. Mm-hmm. Pomona's another one. Pomona's the shortest shutdown on the whole circuit, and it's downhill. And they,
wow,
there's a road on the other side, so you can't extend that. So to make it good for everybody, they cut us back to 1,000 feet, but we just keep hauling ass.
So when you see a regular automobile commercial on TV and they're bragging about their 0 to 60 in 4 seconds, you laugh out loud.
It's all relative.
It's all relative.
I've also got a 7-point harness, head and neck restraints, a giant helmet, makes me look like a bobblehead. I have so much safety gear on, and... yeah, I mean, in a car with just a little dinky seatbelt, yeah,
do they
it
really
could feel fast.
unassemble and reassemble cars after races?
Yes,
entirely
down to the bare block. In between rounds, they change the heads, they take the clutch out, resurface it. Yeah.
So it's building a brand new car for every race.
It's intense, yeah. And sometimes they have to change motors out, you know. That's why we come with basically 8 extra everything.
Wow. Well, so, it's not an inexpensive job, is it,
to
get into?
On a good day, it's not.
Yeah,
on a
right,
bad
exactly.
day.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time here. The 56th annual Circle K NHRA Winter Nationals are happening starting tomorrow. Now, will you be racing all 4 days at the Auto Club Raceway?
All 3 days. They cut
all
us
three
back
days.
To Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes. And now we have this awesome live TV package with Fox Sports 1.
Oh,
we're
great.
We have 11 live shows. I'm so thrilled. Yeah.
It'll be like mid-90s down there on Sunday. That slows the track up, right?
It hasn't really changed our
it's
cars, you know? even in the
1 mile per hour.
Yeah. 90s pushing it, maybe like 80 degrees, you'll still see a 3 second run.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
It's phenomenal what we've accomplished in the last 6 months. So.
Well, you can see it live and in person with tickets available at NHRA.com, and look for the race on Fox Sports 1, including live coverage of Sunday's final starting at 2 p.m. Alexis, it's been a few months since we had you in, but it's great to catch up with you. Have fun this weekend, and congratulations on 100 NHRA races.
Ooh, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:44. We were so busy, I think we forgot to say thank you to Sarah Saunders from North Hollywood for listening this morning. You won yourself tickets to go to the Grammy Museum at LA Live. It's a K-Rock pre-Grammy party featuring the band Death Cab for Cutie. Your chance to win is coming up in minutes. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on?
Just busy watching Art of the Deal in the other room again.
It's your favorite thing ever.
My favorite thing ever. If
you're not familiar with it, it just happened today. It came like a miracle, just with no fanfare and no warning. It just showed up on our internet doorstep this morning. This perfect little baby in a basket that is the one-hour-long TV movie that is a spoof of 80s television movies, and it's a what-if Donald J. Trump had written, directed, and starred in his own TV movie version of his own bombastic self-congratulatory book, The Art of the Deal.
So when did this happen?
Oh, Kevin.
What?
See, Kevin's making light of it now, but he thought it was a real thing.
He thought it was real.
Yeah.
Now, Johnny Depp, and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but in the screenshots I've seen, is almost unrecognizable.
Johnny Depp stars as Donald J. Trump in the film, and he is buried with underneath a mound of remarkable makeup that makes him look exactly like Donald Trump. And it's hilarious. And they play it off as if it was a long-lost TV movie that was found on an old VHS tape. And Ron Howard introduces it, saying, finally, we get a chance to see this lost classic of TV movies. And it is uproariously funny, and it's cutting, and it's edgy, and it spoofs 80s movies, and it spoofs Donald Trump, obviously. And it's just so much great stuff. And all you need to know is when they show the flashback of Donald's marriage to Ivanka Trump, Alf is his best man and gives the toast. That's all you need to know. All you need to know is the fat boys show up and do a rap with Donald in the middle of the movie. It's everything. It's all things. It is joy personified.
Now, Ralph, you're friendly with Johnny Depp now.
I worked once with the man who was very nice to me. We're not friendly at all, but I met the man and worked with him, and he's very, very kind.
To me, as just an outsider fan of his, he doesn't seem like a goofy guy who would be down with playing Donald Trump in a Funny or Die video. This is a surprise to me.
He is a deeply goofy guy who is silly and very fun and playful and likes this kind of stuff more than you can imagine.
Oh,
so it does
great.
Not surprise me that he would say yes, but that he had the time to shoot this. Although it looks like it's an hour long, it could have been shot in an hour for all I know, because those are the production values. But here's the premise at the beginning, where Ron Howard shows up and says, you know, he's a film preservationist, and he has found this long-lost classic, and he found it on a VHS that someone had filmed, taped it off their television, and he found it in a very unique way, and it was a hard get for him.
It disappeared for decades until last summer, when it turned up at a yard sale outside Phoenix, Arizona. I had to physically wrestle it from a nice woman named Jenny, much stronger than she looked, very persistent, proud of what happened, but what's done is done.
What's done is done. So he got his hands on it, and he proceeds to show it to us. And the premise is the typical cheesy biopic, where there's this little waif of a kid who has to steal the book, The Art of the Deal, because it's sold out everywhere in every bookstore. And he steals it, and he runs away from the security guard, and he ends up in Donald Trump's office. And that's where he comes face-to-face with his hero, Donald Trump.
Holy cowabunga! You're Donald Trump!
That is my name, and you cannot wear it out. Trust me. You must really want this book.
All the stores are sold out.
Do you know that this is the second best-selling book of all time? After the Bible, which took 12 guys to write. And you know what? It's boring.
Very boring. It's a bad synthesizer theme music behind it. Kenny Loggins does the main theme.
Oh, my God.
What is happening?
In the midst of the film, because Donald is also the director and producer and writer and star of the film, he realizes that the kid, the actor playing the little kid, is a Mexican kid, so he throws him out of the movie, and he recasts him mid-movie with another kid. It's just pure joy.
There are a lot of people involved in this for it to have been kept a secret until today.
Patton Oswalt is in it, playing Merv Griffin, Paul Scherer. I won't spoil some of those cameos that people show up, but it's just a blast. So I recommend that you go to funnyordie.com and find it and carve yourself out an hour and watch it, because it's so fun. It's so fun.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Grace Moretz. She's 19 years old today. How did she get so talented so young?
It's a good question.
What was she, like 12 when she did Kick-Ass? But she kind of blew our minds playing Hit Girl. And everyone was like, who is this girl? It's great. Emma Roberts is 25 years old. Stephanie Beatriz, who was, of course, Rosa on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's 35 today. Uzu Aduba from Orange is the New Black also turns 35. Laura Dern is 49 years old today. And one of our favorites around here, Elizabeth Banks. We were just talking about her. Elizabeth Banks had been cast as Rita Repulsa in the new rebooted Power Rangers movie, which I think is exciting. She's a very successful director as well now. She directed Pitch Perfect 2. I believe she's doing Pitch Perfect 3. She's a producer. She's a writer, mm-hmm. actress. But, you know, she started off maybe not in the most high-profile projects. I remember seeing her in an early screen appearance in a movie called Slither. I remember Bean talked to her about that. Seems like
now,
yesterday.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
I like that he
God
wouldn't
damn
let
it, Bean.
I like that he wouldn't let it go, though. That's what
nope.
I like.
What did you do back then in the Slither times?
Asshole.
And the movie wasn't about snakes, so obviously Bean has not seen the movie Slither. I'm just...
But he was, well, was stuck on that question.
What
did you do back then?
What was the motivation,
Bean? Bean, you're a dick.
For that line of questioning.
I can't imagine. Look, there's no defense for that. It's terrible.
You keep doing what you're doing.
I'm bad as a broadcaster and worse as a human when confronted with that evidence.
We're going to need that piece of tape,
yes, Jeff. We
make
are.
Sure you pull that clip for us. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we will talk sports with Jim Rome. We'll talk doctory stuff with Dr. Drew.
Ooh,
and we've got Ben Stiller to talk about Zoolander 2 tomorrow morning on an all new show.